is the MJ Morning Show podcast. Initiate procedure. Okay, the MJ Radio Network. We are go.
Now, stand by for the MJ Morning Show.
The milkman, the paper boy, evening TV.
Tell you what, I was not expecting that one. That was nowhere on my list that we were going to find out about Bob Saget checking out over the weekend. That was zero. That was nowhere.
All right, this is a sad one on a couple of different levels. Yeah. One, he's a fairly young guy.
Yeah, he looks really young, too, 65 years old.
Yeah, but you know what? I said this to Michelle last night. And of course, folks, if you're just tuning in and you were kind of under a rock yesterday from what? About 7:30 on? I think the news broke about 7:30 or 7:45, somewhere in that vicinity, that Bob Saget was found dead in his hotel room where he was staying in Orlando at the Ritz-Carlton. And he had done a show, was it?
It was the previous night?
In Jacksonville or Ponte Vedra.
On Saturday night, he was in the Jacksonville area.
Yeah.
Put out a Facebook or post or a tweet thanking Jacksonville with a great crowd.
I've got that around here somewhere. I've got, you know, that it was a great show. That he did like a 2-hour set or something. And, you know, for Bob Saget, by the way, is Froggy on? Let me check. Hey, Froggy, are you with us, buddy?
Hello.
Froggy.
Yeah.
How do you feel, Froggy?
Not good.
Do you have it? Froggy?
Yeah.
Do you have it?
Have it?
Yes, do you have it?
What's it?
The freaking Omicron.
No, I don't have Omicron.
All right. Froggy not in studio because... What was that?
I don't know. I'm trying to... Hang on.
He sounds... Yeah. Does he sound...
Hang on.
What are you shocking yourself? Froggy, what are you doing? All right.
I think it's better now. I'm trying to set this up decently.
All right.
It sounds like
spilled coffee on this thing that Ted gave me.
Oh, that's great. You spilled coffee on the broadcast home connection device?
Like, right when I put it down.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I'm trying to make it work. How do I sound?
Yeah, you sound all right. You know, the Froggy breaking news. A lot of breaking news going on. So Froggy is not in studio because we found out on Saturday morning that Froggy's younger kid... Luke has the COVID, has the Omicron, and Luke is Luke 5 or 6?
He just turned 7.
Oh, geez, really?
He's way off.
All right, so Luke is 7, and apparently Luke got the Omicron at school, and then Kim, Froggy's wife, texted Michelle last night that his teacher also, so Luke's, is Luke in what, first grade or what?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Well, is that yes or no?
Yeah, it's first grade. Right, so first and fourth, I believe, or something like that.
So Luke's teacher has COVID as well. So that just came out that, and this was last night, that Kim texted Michelle, my wife, and said, yeah, we just found out that Luke's first grade teacher also has the COVID. Right, the whole damn class has the COVID. And what's surprising, Froggy, and this is, by the way, the Froggy breaking news, is Froggy's probably not going to be in the studio the bulk of the week. He'll be broadcasting from home. The word is that if a kid or somebody gets COVID in your house, it's pretty common for the whole damn house to get the COVID, to get the Omicron thing going on. The big question mark is, are you going to be asymptomatic? or have what most people are having are pretty mild symptoms with the Omicron. That's the question. So at this point, is it only Luke? Has anybody, has Max, your son, or Kim, or you say you're fine? Has anyone else been affected other than Luke?
No, I remember Max, last time I had to stay home from the show, Max had it.
Oh, that's right. This is a double dipper for you. That's right. Max had this last, was it early last summer? When was that?
A few months ago. And he had it. And then, so everybody else is fine, though, around here. It's weird.
Well, I have a theory about all this.
What do you say, Roxanne?
I have a theory about all this.
What's your theory?
It's an excuse. I'm not saying Froggy's making it up, but like everybody... Oh, I can't get you that report on time. I have a COVID issue I'm dealing with, and no one even questions it.
That's not a theory. I mean, because people, the actual cases have exploded.
No, I think Roxanne's calling Froggy a liar. I think that's what's happening. I think she's laying down the gauntlet.
That's what it sounds like.
Froggy's using his children to not have to put on pants to come into the radio station.
All right, let's finish up with Bob Saget, at least the early. We'll get into Bob Saget numerous times during the course of the show today. But again, shocker yesterday. More details on the Bob Saget shocker death in Orlando next on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. We're back in a minute. Stand by, Froggy.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105 at 6:17 here on Monday morning. When did the home show end, Roxanne? When did it actually...
Sunday, yesterday afternoon.
That is wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong.
Then all my spots are wrong.
No, the home show goes on because Froggy's at home. Whoa, yeah. Yeah, the home show's still on. It's Froggy sitting at home right now with some aluminum siding.
Must be nice.
Yeah. Hey, Froggy.
I'm in my underwear right now.
I bet you are.
To know.
As you should be.
My skivvies.
I'm sure you are. Froggy is home because his youngest little amoeba has the COVID. So that's why Froggy's home.
What are you doing at your house, man? Two kids and both of them caught it?
Well, I think that Max, the older one, Froggy, I've lost track of time on a couple of things. So when did Max?
Uh-huh.
What was that?
I hooked up my keyboard.
Yeah, well, obviously. What are you going to?
Yeah, you get some chopsticks.
Are you going to play for us at home?
This is a song I just wrote.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
I don't like to do the show from home. No, no, it is bore. Oh, this song sucks.
That's a was that Twinkle Twinkle Little Star?
I guess so. I hooked up my kid's keyboard to this thing, and it actually works.
You gonna hook up your video game console as well?
Yeah, here we go. Welcome to the show. Yeah, good morning, everybody.
What the hell are you doing?
I'll play with that later.
I'm not sure what's happening right now.
Froggy is at home. IMJ and Fester and Roxanne and Coop, we're in studio, but Froggy's at home. COVID protocol because his youngest kid, 7 year, I couldn't believe he's seven. I thought he was still like five or six.
Yeah, funny thing that happens with these kids.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, they grow.
So 7 year old Luke in first grade, he's got the COVID. I guess most of the class probably has it now because the teacher just tested positive. And then Max, this is what I was saying. I lost track of time. When did Max actually, your oldest son, who's like 10, when did he actually have the COVID?
It was during the summer sometime.
But he was still in school, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Froggy stayed home then, remember?
Yeah, Froggy was also home for that. And I don't think Froggy caught COVID then either.
Maybe you're immune to it.
I'm invincible.
Yeah, I doubt that.
No, what they did was they completely isolated their kid in a plexiglass cage and just like dropped food pellets in there.
All right, so back over to Bob Saget, man. Big shocker. I guess I found out about, 7:30 is when the news broke. And a couple of theories. So What do we know so far? We know that he was found dead. There was a report, was it Orange County Sheriff's Office?
So the Orange County Sheriff's Office put out a tweet.
Right, but they apparently were informed that there was an unresponsive male.
In the hotel room.
In the hotel room. Now, the question is, how did they know? Because if someone's in their hotel room, you go into your hotel room, if you're unresponsive, I mean, who really knows? If you're in your hotel room, no one really bothers you unless it was, 4:30 in the afternoon and maybe family members, man, he's got a wife and two kids, maybe the hotel was contacted and they could not get a hold of Bob. Maybe it was either friends, family, manager, somebody that called the hotel and said, hey, we can't get a hold of Bob. Can you please check his room? He's not answering his cell phone. And maybe that's what happened. So hotel employees went into the room at the Ritz-Carlton, which Ritz-Carlton is, typically a, fancy, swanky, five-star joint.
That's a nice Ritz-Carlton.
Oh, yeah. I've never... have you been to the Orlando Ritz-Carlton, Roxanne?
I have.
You stayed at the Orlando Ritz-Carlton?
They have nice accommodations. I remember being there one time when I was pregnant, and I almost died because it was the middle of the summer. I was walking to the spa.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, it's a nice place.
Yeah, you and Bob Saget would have had even more in common.
Exactly. So that's what I'm thinking maybe happened is that somebody called the hotel, hey, we can't get a hold of a guest, Bob Saget. And then the hotel employees went in, found probably Saget dead in the room, unresponsive. And then they called the police immediately. Now, you've got the tweet. This is from the Orange County Sheriff's Office. And the tweet went out at 7:46 last night. So, you know what? It was right around, I found out very quickly. So it must have been about 7:46 or 7:50. It was within minutes of the news breaking that I had heard about it because I got all kinds of alerts that went off on my phone. And the Orange County Sheriff's Office over in Orlando, they tweeted out last night, earlier today, deputies were called to the Ritz-Carlton Orlando, Grand Lakes, for a call about an unresponsive man in a hotel room. The man was identified as Robert Saget and pronounced deceased on the scene. Detectives found no signs of foul play or drug use in this case. And then hashtag Bob Saget. And this officially from the Twitter blue check verified Orange County Sheriff's Office. I'm guessing that my assumption probably is what happened that why are you shaking your head?
The housekeeping.
Yeah, but he probably had do not disturb on if he went to bed or was in his room.
Yeah.
Maybe he was
He didn't check out.
Yes. Two things. Okay, three things possible. What are you laughing at, Frog?
There's 100 things possible,
I plan on being found by the housekeeper. That's
all right, now full disclosure, I was not privy to Bob Saget's traveling schedule and itinerary. I did not have that handy, but either housekeeping went in to do the gig and he was found dead. Family friends trying to get a hold of him, they couldn't, so they called the Ritz-Carlton and said, "Could you please go check on him?" Or he was supposed to check out and maybe they checked on why he hasn't checking out.
Just because we're really trying to nail this down, it sounds like.
Yeah.
He probably wasn't checking out that day because he drove there from Jacksonville that night. So he was probably going to stay Sunday night, too.
Yeah, so do we know... Fester, bring up his gig schedule. I meant to do this last night. I think Michelle might have mentioned... I think Michelle did, and I was like nose deep in prep. I don't know if I digested what she said. But bring up Bob Saget's calendar.
Tickets are still on sale.
Oh, geez. Are you serious? Oh, my God. Okay. So, West Palm. Oh, that's right. He didn't have another gig. Could you go back? Can we look at the previous dates or no?
No, because they fall off.
Yeah.
On the algorithm.
All right, hold on a second. Let me grab this. Hang on. So, West Palm was his next gig.
At the end of the month.
Yeah. Bob Saget was supposed to be in West Palm on the 28th. So, that's 3 weeks away or, over 2 weeks away, certainly. And Saget had two shows scheduled at the Palm Beach Improv, 7 and 9:45 p.m.
2 days in a row.
Yeah. Oh, wow. He was supposed to do the 28th of January and the 29th of January. And then February 4th, he was headed to Oklahoma City for two nights. Yeah, so that's clearly not going to happen.
So he was going to be, was he going to be at the Hard Rock Live in Orlando?
Well, did that already happen? Orlando might have already happened.
It was supposed to, I think it was supposed to be last night.
That would make sense. That would seem why he would be there.
Jacksonville or Ponte Vedra. There on Saturday and then Orlando on Sunday.
And well, I saw him play live in 2005 at the Improv.
Did you really, Frog?
Yeah, I went with Kim just because we're fans, and oh boy, he was a dirty, dirty comedian.
Yeah, you know, that's what I heard.
That was his deal. Is he turned really dirty? Years ago, he started doing a really dirty act to kind of get away from the, you know, the white bready America's Funniest Home Videos, and of course the whole Full House deal.
Break his image.
Yeah. But he turned dirty as a comedian a while ago. But listen, I had numerous interactions with Bob Saget because when I was in Los Angeles working for a station out there, he came up to the show, I would say two or three times, and maybe four. And the guy was just, he was a nice guy.
That's when he was on TV, Full House, right?
Oh, yeah. When he came up to do our morning show in Los Angeles at Pirate Radio, and I'll get into more details on this. It was, you know, Scott Shannon was the morning guy, and I was, you know, part of the crew in the morning. Saget came up, it was multiple times. And he, again, just a nice, nice guy. And as far as like a drug overdose, and you heard the tweet from the Orange County Sheriff's Office. They were like, no signs of foul play or drugs. That's the furthest thing that I'd expect. That guy was put together pretty well. You know, my theories would be that, I mean, it's like the instant killers, like a massive heart attack.
Stroke.
A stroke, exactly. You're 100% correct. Or maybe some kind of like an aneurysm or something. You know, it had to be something probably quick that took his life.
Because he had some disease, some sort of sclerosis that his sister died. I was reading his sister died when she was in her 40s, and I heard that he had the same disease.
Arterial sclerosis?
Yeah.
Well, can you like double check and tell me what?
You're making a really lofty assumption here, Froggy.
Yeah, Froggy, look up and have the facts ready. I mean, if you know.
Why would I do that? I come to the show for the facts.
But you're the one that just brought up arterial something. And when I think of arterial sclerosis, which would be heart related.
All right. So in 1985, his sister Andrea died of a brain aneurysm.
Oh, where did you get sclerosis from?
No, it's
autoimmune disease called
scleroderma. Right.
Scleroderma.
Scleroderma.
So I called it sclerosis. I was close enough.
No, you weren't.
It started with an S.
Started with an S. That's it.
For Froggy, that's pretty close.
You could have said sheep's milk, and you would have said, oh, that would start with an S.
Oh, I'm so thirsty.
All right. So Bob Saget, we'll get into him in much greater depth during the course of the show, but what a shocker. And, you know, the other thing is, 65 years old, you don't want to even really comprehend that he was 65 years old.
No.
Just an amazing shocker for that to... as far as celebrity deaths, we had Betty White, Bob Saget. Who else?
John Madden.
Oh, that's right, John Madden.
Yeah, John Madden seems forever ago now.
And then, of course, Roxanne brought up earlier Sidney Poitier, but he was like 100. He was like 94 years old or something, so... You know, not a huge shocker there, but Bob Saget at 65, certainly quite a shocker. All right, more Bob as the story develops. And a couple other Saget stories we'll get to later on here on the MJ Morning Show. Q105. All right, let's take a quick break. When we get back, we'll dive into the morons in the news. The early edition next on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Back in a sec.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105. MJ and the crew here. Froggy's at home on the COVID protocol deal since his son's got the COVID, 7-year-old Luke. So Froggy, what is the deal? How long are you going to be home? Do you know? What's the story?
I mean, whose decision is that? I don't know. Last time it was 2 weeks.
Well, the CDC is saying that if you have it, you're supposed to wait 5 days in quarantine. You know, they lowered the quarantine deal from 10 days to 5 days. And then there was that whole big hoopla on whether you needed to test negative after 5 days. I mean, that's just kind of common freaking sense.
Okay, so MJ, do you care if Froggy has it or if Froggy's kid has it?
Well, the problem is that if Froggy's kid has it, most people inside the same household tend to be getting the COVID if somebody has it, especially with this Omicron. Now, I've known plenty of people with Delta and the first strains of COVID that somebody in the house had it and they didn't get it. But the contagiousness of Omicron is so much greater that in most cases, every doctor that I know, it's like, yeah, if one person in the household has Omicron, generally the whole household's getting it. But listen, some people could be asymptomatic and showing zero signs of it. So, Froggy, when did you last test to see if you have Omicron COVID variant?
Saturday afternoon.
And how do you feel now?
I feel like I'm on death's door.
No, Froggy's fine.
Well, I feel like $1 million.
Yeah. So how many home test kits do you guys have? Because you don't want to blow through them all, but I think it's probably important for you and Max, your oldest son, and Kim, for you guys to test at some point.
Well, the problem was we couldn't find a test anywhere.
I thought you guys had home test kits.
Well, let me get to it. Okay. My mother had a stash.
Right.
And so she
sell them on eBay for like an inflated number?
Yeah, she has like a big coat. And she has them all lined inside, and she goes, what do you need? And she gave us a couple of them. And so now we're going to have to find more somewhere, or go take tests.
Yeah, you need to go take this week. Tests. All right, early morons in the news, man. I got some good stuff today. Now, I'm trying to figure out, this happened, I just saw the story over the weekend. I saw the story on Saturday, but the headline comes from closer to Christmas. Tell me if there's any way that you could walk away from this headline and not get roped in. The headline from Fox 31 TV out in Denver, that's the big Fox station. Like here in Tampa Bay, we've got Fox 13. Yeah, just transpose the numbers out in Denver. They've got Fox 31. For all you call it a junkies, that'd be KDVR television.
Yeah, both of you.
Yeah. All right. So listen to this headline. Sorry. Man poops on child's picnic table, then steals her scooter on Christmas.
I'm in.
You have to click on that.
A series of unfortunate events.
It is.
So that story had better deliver, because that sounds like some clickbait to me.
What was that movie? Was it Lemony Snicket and the
series of unfortunate
events?
Lemony poop on the scooter.
When you just said unfortunate events, that's like the first thing that popped into my mind is that Lemony. Was that a book series that became a movie? Is that what it was?
It was a book. It was a kids' movie.
Yeah, Jim Carrey was Lemony Snicket.
Was it?
I think so.
Was there any pooping on picnic tables and the stealing of little kids' toys in that movie?
That's actually the premise of the whole movie.
Whole thing?
Opening scene.
I see you guys are enjoying a nice lunch out in the park.
I'll
poop on you.
The headline, man poops on child's picnic table and then steals her scooter on Christmas.
I think they gave it all away.
That kind of ropes you in, doesn't it?
It ropes you in.
I want to know more on this, you know? A family woke up to a disturbing surprise on Christmas. What's under the tree? A big pile of poop. I'm reading this from the Channel 31 Fox website out in Denver. A family woke up to a disturbing surprise on Christmas morning. Feces scattered on their child's picnic table, and her scooter was gone. Gone in 60 seconds. The mother, who wishes to remain anonymous, said that she saw what happened after watching their Ring surveillance video.
Oh, I need the video.
Oh, my God. Did this guy, like, pop a squat on their picnic table outside? Or do they have the whole thing captured?
Okay, this is going to be a really gross question, but if I see...
All right, Roxanne. All right.
You're
becoming grosser by the day on this show. You're a shock jock. Roxanne Wilder, the shock jock.
Roxanne Stinkface.
All right,
feces on a picnic table. If I see that, I'm immediately going to think it's an animal. Like, I would first, yeah. I would think duck poop. Obviously, that looks very different. But then, because I've had that happen before on my patio. But then, like, what? I mean, so this looked like human poop, is my guess.
Oh my God,
Roxanne, do you have to be so descriptive? All right, there is video, by the way.
I'm watching the video right now.
Did he bring it or did he do it there?
No, he did it right there.
Well, they didn't.
He's bending over right there on the little portico area of the house.
There's video of the whole damn thing.
It's a nice neighborhood.
Oh, my God. So the mother says, my girls were laying in bed way past bedtime waiting to hear Santa and his reindeer land on the roof. My five-year-old went outside the next morning and saw it. She instantly told me not to worry. It had been one of the reindeer that pooped outside. No, I've seen reindeer poop, and they're little like twice the size of milk duds. All right? I've seen plenty of deer poop. All right?
I mean, of all the days to do this, it's actually it's the perfect day because there's a plausible excuse you could pass with the children.
Yeah, except the piles are quite different.
I mean, the kids don't know.
Unless it is Santa.
The kids don't know.
Ho, ho, I've got to go. Ho, ho.
I mean, can you believe this?
Too much milk and cookies, I suppose.
And then he looks over. He looks around the whole porch. And he sees the kid's scooter. You see it leaning against like the bush over here, the shrub.
And then he steals the scooter.
There he goes. He's taking a little scooter.
Boop. Mom said, I wish she was right about the reindeer pooping, but unfortunately we had a nasty mess to clean up. In the video, the man's seen walking up to the family porch, looking around, and then dropping his pants, and does his business right on the girl's picnic table outside on the porch. Unbelievable. So the man moves around a few times before pulling up his pants, looks around, sees the scooter, and then boom, just takes off with the scooter. So, like, it's not bad enough the guy drops trow and wrecks their patio and the picnic table. Like, can you use that picnic table again, or you have to burn that thing with fire?
No, you sell it on Facebook Marketplace, and you never mention it. It's like, hey,
pressure wash it. It'll be fine.
Unbelievable. Anyway, a neighbor happened to find the scooter down the street. So the guy used the scooter for a little bit, and then it probably said, this thing sucks.
That's good.
And then... And then just, he ditched the scooter.
It's like one of those Razor scooters. Those aren't really good for adults.
No.
Scooter's slowing me down.
You know how you have, pooper scoopers? This is a pooper scooter.
Yeah, the video is pretty amazing.
All right. Speaking of deer, moving along here.
You have a deer theme?
I do.
Okay.
how the hell did this happen?
Okay.
How the hell did... A suspected DUI driver hit a deer, put it in the hatchback of their vehicle, kept driving, but the deer was still alive. This sounds like something out of Tommy Boy, you know? Remember the scene in Tommy Boy?
They hit the deer and it goes in the back of the convertible.
And then it shreds the whole, the convertible vinyl rooftop or whatever, whatever that thing is. So during a traffic stop, this is late last week on Thursday, in Pennsylvania, Newberry Township, Pennsylvania, police there made an unexpected discovery. They pulled over a hatchback under the suspicion of DUI, just kind of weaving and swerving all over the place. A 19-year-old woman pulled over around midnight, had a deer in the back of the car. After hitting the deer, the 19-year-old and her passenger loaded the deer into the car while it was still alive. After a short time, they realized the deer was still alive. This is like right out of flipping Tommy Boy.
Did they think the deer was... Obviously, they thought the deer was dead when they picked it up.
The only thing different here is it wasn't like some classic 1960s muscle car. Didn't David Spade have some kind of a... Like a Chevelle or something? It was like a classically restored car that ended up just destroyed. Didn't Farley smash the door at the gas station? Did he pull forward?
He bent. He also dropped the bag of M&Ms in the. it all melted
into the defroster, right?
Yeah,
it was on the front dashboard.
It was a 1976 GTX Plymouth satellite.
No, 1967.
That's what I said.
You said 1976.
All right, 67.
Yeah, 1967 GTX convertible. And remember, the convertible top got shredded by the deer. Didn't the hood blow up as well? Wasn't there some...
The hood flies up on him.
Michelle, my wife, she still brings this up. My wife was like deathly ill. She had the flu or something. She was sicker than a dog. And I had never seen, I had never seen Tommy Boy. And this would have been, what year did the movie come out?
1995.
So, yeah. This is probably 1997. It was a couple of years later. It was on like HBO or something. So it had already done its movie run. It was on TV. Michelle's sick. And I'm flipping through the channels. And of course, I was aware of it because I like Chris Farley. I like David Spade. I like both of them. I just never saw the movie. So the movie, I caught it from fairly close to the beginning. And it was on, I think, HBO. And Michelle is sick. And I'm sitting on the edge of the bed watching this movie. And I am laughing hysterically. I am shaking the bed like a paint shaker at the hardware store. And Michelle's like screaming at me. She's like, stop it! And to this day, whenever that movie's on, she's like, remember when I was so sick with the flu and you're laughing and you're shaking the bed? You're making me even more nauseous as I watch. That movie made me laugh out loud. It still does.
LOL'd.
You know,
that's my kid's favorite movie right now. We watched it 2 weeks ago.
Tommy Boy's like sort of one of those movies that it also, if you're flipping through channels and it's on, even with commercials every 7 minutes, that you can't stop watching it. So back to the deer story here. So they realized that once they put the deer in the back of the car, they realized it was still alive, but they continued to drive with the animal in the vehicle.
They wanted really, really fresh venison.
So police released the video of the deer being unloaded from the car during the traffic stop and released back into the wild. It's unclear how badly the deer was hurt from the crash. The 19-year-old driver was taken into custody as part of the DUI investigation. And the Pennsylvania Game Commission, they are assisting into the investigation into the incident. But, you know.
Have you seen the video, the footage of the guy getting out of his car?
Yes, I did.
The deer looks fine.
The deer, I mean, first of all, how did the deer just stay contained in the car? I mean, in Tommy Boy, that deer, once the deer came back to life.
They start like kicking wildly.
Yes. Okay. Now, I realize that Tommy Boy is a movie.
Same scenario,
but,
MJ.
But except this is not a convertible. This is a metal topped.
The deer wakes up. He picks the deer up. You see the deer kicking and scratching and wanting to get out.
Right.
And he just drops him off on the other side of the road.
And we're not talking about like a 12-point buck here. It's, you know, it's a smaller, it looks like a juvenile deer.
It's not a Bambi. It's bigger than a Bambi.
You know what? I don't think it's much bigger than a Bambi.
Is it a doe?
I think it is a deer.
A female deer.
Stop it.
Sound of Music.
Sound of Music, exactly.
Got hit by a stinking car.
What was the name of that family?
Oh.
The Von Trapps.
Thank you. Yeah, why the hell not? My wife and daughter watch that thing like I watch the Blues Brothers or Goodfellas. They love that damn movie. So, all right, I'm not even remotely done with the morons. You hear about the guy with meth in his pants?
Those are always good ones.
Yeah, I got meth coming up.
Where else do you keep it? I mean, I don't know if that qualifies.
No, it's what he said.
Okay.
All right. It's what he said. All right, folks, stand by. I shall continue with these imbeciles in just a matter of moments here on the MJ Morning Show. It's a pretty damn loaded Monday here. You know, I gotta go to the doctor after the show today.
What's wrong?
It's that time.
What time do you think it is?
Old Pokey?
What? old Pokey?
Old Pokey?
Hold on to that thought. I want to hear what you think Old Pokey is. Yeah, I've got a doctor's appointment right after the show. I'll explain. All right, back in minutes on the MJ Morning Show here on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show, Q105. All right, the meth pants in just a moment here. This is This guy that messed up his pants really bad. Quite different than the guy that messed up that Christmas morning.
Ew, yeah, the guy that treat on the picnic table.
Yeah, messed up the picnic table. Yeah. So hang on, I'll get to that in a second. Fester is obviously deeply concerned about my need to see the doctor after the show today, and you were saying, is it time for what?
Okay, hold on. Let's get things straight. I'm deeply concerned about your doctor's appointment.
How did you just put, before the break?
You said, I got a doctor's appointment after the show today. Right. And I was like, oh, is it that time again? And then you said, oh, yeah. And then you said, wait, what time do you think it is?
Yeah, so what, if I said that I have a doctor's appointment right after the show today, and you say, oh, is it that time again, what are you thinking about?
I said, time for Old Pokey.
Okay, and what do you attribute Old Pokey to?
It sounds like guy talk. Can I leave?
Every guy knows what Old Pokey is.
What are you listening to Fester for? He hasn't been to the doctor in a decade.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't know.
That's quite amazing. I mean,
it's quite scary, actually.
Well, it is, especially with Bob Saget. So Bob Saget drops dead in his hotel room at 65. Fester, you're not a very svelte individual.
And Fester doesn't believe in modern medicine.
You don't
go to the doctor. You don't believe.
I just think he's lazy.
Yeah, I mean, I feel fine. Dr. Schmachter. Oh, but it's time for you to get your Old Pokey time, which every guy knows what that is.
What was that David Bowie song? Remember Modern Medicine? Remember that song?
No.
You remember that? Hey, Roxanne, you remember
that? I don't ask me to sing it, but yeah.
Modern Medicine. Oh, remember this? Modern Medicine. You know the lyrics, Modern Medicine?
I would assume Modern Medicine is in the lyrics.
That's a good one.
No, it's Modern Love. They don't say Modern Medicine anywhere in this song. Roxanne, you sure you heard of Modern Medicine by David Bowie? Are you okay?
This is what I'm thinking of.
It's Modern Love, not Modern Medicine. I love this song.
You must love it a lot, because that's kind of a stretch to play it.
It is.
It really is.
Hey, roll the intro back again. I love the intro.
Yeah, we actually have this song scheduled to play at 9:20.
I don't think we do, but great song. All right, so where the hell was it? Oh, so Fester.
Yes.
Bob Saget is found dead in his hotel room at 65.
Right.
And when was the last time you've been to a doctor, getting a checkup, a physical, whatever?
2008?
Oh, my God. Do you have any idea, like, what your blood looks like?
Red?
Quit being a wise ass. When was the last time you had a blood test to, like, check for cholesterol and triglycerides?
Oh, 2008.
So 14 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get your blood work done every year.
Dude, that's what I'm alluding to. It's today's my day. I'm going to Dr. L. I'm getting my yearly physical today. It's a two-parter. So today I get like the vitals done. They draw like, I don't know, 5 or 6 vials of blood. They send it off to the lab. And then
you got
to
go in a cup.
I got to do the cup thing. I got to obviously pee in a cup, you know, get the analysis there. So I'm getting the full workup.
Then you have a little sense of relief when you know you are a healthy man, Fester.
You know, you kind of hope you're a healthy dude. I mean, I've been pretty good so far, so good.
But Saget would have said he's fit as a fiddle Saturday night.
Well, that's my point, you dummy.
When you go, you go.
That's my point, you dope.
That's it.
Yeah, so, but you could prolong that by...
Is today Old Pokey Day, or is it the next visit?
The next visit is Old Pokey Day, and of course, Old Pokey Day would be, the latex glove with the jelly and the, you know.
If you want to do an Instagram Live, MJ.
Yeah, for a guy, listen, women don't have to worry about this. They have to worry about
other stuff.
They have other things to worry about.
Plenty of other stuff.
For the guys, it's the whole prostate exam. Obviously, that gets the, and I love, my doctor touches like the tip of his nose. My doctor touches the tip of his nose, you know, and then, because apparently a good prostate is supposed to feel like the kind of the rubbery kind of feeling that you get when you push the tip of your nose with the skin and the cartilage.
And he's been doing this so long, he still doesn't remember what the tip of his nose, he has to do that every time?
For real.
It's like he does it every time.
Every time.
I love it. He does it. How do you know every time?
The doctor I saw in 2008 was Dr. L.
Oh, that's right.
Dr. L has touched more prostates of the MJ Morning Show members than any human in the world.
I think Joey B back in the day as well.
Joey B went to Dr. L.
Yep. Why does Dr. L like to wait for the second date to do the finger?
No,
just get it all done?
Because they do the blood work, and then you go back to go over the blood work, and that's when they do like the hearing test, and they do the whole... Today, I think I get the EKG. They hook up an EKG. They do a little electrocardiogram in the office.
Okay.
So, Festy,
I get those, and then they rip it off, and they rip my chest hair out.
Same deal. Fester, and it's cold when they put those things on.
Oof, hey, I love it.
Fester, you got to see a doctor. Dude, come
on.
You
got to see it. You got to go to the doctor.
Let's just make it as a bit at this point. Let's see what his blood work is after 15 years.
Why can't they have a doctor at the home show? I'd go to that doctor.
Doesn't your wife like get on your... ass about this?
No, I have like a $2 million policy. She's like, whatever.
Hold on, do you really have a $2 million life insurance policy?
It's term. I have to die in the next 5 years, but yeah.
So Alice is like, well, you don't need to go to the doctor. No.
Who the hell sold you a $2 million life policy?
Travelers.
Without a physical?
Without a physical.
Like, so they did
blood work.
They came to my house.
They did blood work.
Okay, so I did blood work in 2014?
Then that would have expired in 2019 if it was a 5-year policy.
No, it's a 10-year policy.
Oh, it's a 10-year term. I thought you said it was a 5-year term.
I have to die in the next few years.
Oh, you got to.
Before 2024, he has to kick it.
I have to die in the next 2 years.
And then Allison gets $2 million?
If I die in the next 2 years.
Yeah, so I have a life insurance policy. Mine's a little more than yours.
Of course.
But
because you're an insurance one-upper.
Oh, really? I'm a life insurance one-upper?
You don't want to be that.
So, with my policy, I'm on my second one. I had one for 10 years, so I got my first one when the kids were young. So, I got my first one, and that was a 10-year policy. It's like through one of the big... through one of the big life insurance companies. So I had a 10-year policy, and they had to do a full physical because it's an expensive policy. And then my first 10-year life insurance expired, and I got a second 10-year. And I upped it. I added like another $1 million to the payout. And you want to hear something really creepy and morbid?
Yeah.
That like after 1 year, you could commit suicide and it still pays out.
Oh, my policy was 2 years.
You know what? Mine might have been 2 as well. Yeah. Okay, I think so. So you have the same morbid deal.
I think it's part of insurance. The policy is written that you can't self-end your life.
You can't self-destruct.
I mean, you could put down a motorcycle and die tomorrow, right, and it's fine. They pay.
Right.
But if you kill yourself, it's...
Right, if it's ruled a suicide, yeah, I think mine was the same deal. So after 2 years, if you decide to, end it, it still pays out. I always reminded Michelle about that. But I only have, guess what? I believe I just paid my last premium on like January, like just now. It was just due.
So it expired.
I have 1 year left. So then my second 10-year life insurance term ends in 1 year, like early January of next year, 2023. And I don't know how much it's going to go up for the same amount of money, but they're going to send another one of those like insurance company nurses out to do all your vitals. They take blood. They just want to make sure you're not a ticking time bomb. It's about to drop dead.
Yeah, the guy who came to see me said he's done insurance physicals for like 20 years, and he's been to everybody's house doing physicals. He knew everybody.
Yeah. Okay, are we done talking about life insurance?
No, I think we're going to do this for the whole hour.
Well, what do you want to get into? I got to get into the meth story, but what else? What do you want to bring up?
I want to switch gears to, I just did this thing. You have to incorporate this into your physical. I did a scan of my entire body, like just last week. And so they do your heart.
Like Total Recall?
Get something like that. You get in the tube and they look at your coronary artery calcium scan. Yeah,
I had a calcium test where they do an x-ray on your chest. I had a calcium score like maybe 10 years ago.
And
all right, medical talk is... Okay.
The point is that I'm going to the doctor today. Literally right after the show, I got to hightail it over to South Tampa for my part one of my yearly physical.
We just want to make sure you're getting all the tests you need.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll give you Dr. L's cell phone number. Why don't you go over it with him?
MJ, does Dr. L give you your turn your head and cough test?
Yeah, you get the whole shebang. That's the...
Man, he knows you inside and out, man. He knows all of you.
Well, most doctors
I don't want to be friends with my doctor.
Hey, guess what, folks? Nothing like a Monday morning meth story.
6 o'clock already. I was just in the middle of a dream.
All right, it's 7 o'clock already. 7:09 exactly.
I thought I heard MJ talk about crystal meth and fed up me.
Yeah, you're right. You're about to hear it right
it's
now.
It's just another meth lab Monday. The crooks are on the run day.
Oh, yeah.
The cops are gonna come day. It's gonna be a fun day. It's just another meth lab Monday.
I love these stories. You know, this particular meth amphetamine related story is, well, it's not a strange. We've done similar things in the past, but I'd love you to look at the mugshot of Mr. Brandon Cihak. Hey, the guy's last name is spelled C-I-H-A-K. How the hell would you pronounce that?
Cihak.
Cihak. Cihak. I don't know. So cops in Minnesota, they find a bag of methamphetamine in this dude's pocket. He's 37 years old. He's from Minnesota. The cops find the bag of meth in his pockets. They find it on him, in his clothes. So when the cops find meth on your body, in your clothing, in a pocket, what is the immediate response that a lot of folks say right off the bat?
Not mine.
That's right. That is correct.
Wow, Roxanne just rolled that off like she's used it before as a defense.
The guy claimed that the bag of meth in the sweatpants that he was wearing was not his.
Wasn't me.
So Cihak, who had been searched following a traffic stop in Minnesota, attempted to blame the methamphetamine on another individual. Yeah, the cops love this. Oh, that's not mine. Yeah, these aren't my pants. That's one of the...
It's classic.
Yeah. So the officer who was Officer Lopez in the probable cause statement noted that he was wearing somebody else's sweatpants. Don't even try this.
Just think, when's the last time you wore your friend's sweatpants? Yeah,
the cops have heard everything. The cops have heard every story. You've got drugs on your person. It's in your clothes. The cops have heard it 100 times if they've heard it once. Oh, yeah, this is not my coke. This is not my my little twisty of heroin. This is not my drugs. Not, these are not my pants.
Okay,
in fact, I don't know how these pants got on me.
There's a line, though, MJ. You can get away with saying some tangible item in my pocket's not mine, but the actual garment has to come from a person that is remarkably similar to you in some capacity. Because, like, this guy, he looks like a tall guy.
Yeah, the guy is 5'11", and he tried to pin the meth on somebody else, on an unnamed fall guy, but apparently the officer, he didn't buy it because the Cihak guy is substantially taller than the individual that he claimed was the actual owner of the meth. So that would make the sweatpants way too long on the individual that he claimed that he was, because you're going to love this. It gets better. Frog, you're going to love this. The purported owner of the sweatpants is only 4'1".
Oh my God, he's a midget.
He's hanging out with dwarfs.
He's got a midget meth story today.
Oh, man, those aren't my pants, man.
No, these pants definitely belong to this midget, officer. So this is midget's pants.
This guy, Cihak, was charged with felony narcotics possession, booked into the county jail up in Blue Earth County. This is a Blue Earth County, Minnesota? I never heard of that county. That's where he was booked. The guy's got a rap sheet as long as his arm, convictions for fraud, burglary, receiving stolen property, disorderly conduct.
All because of midgets.
Assault, DUI, mm-hmm. Theft, narcotics possession, check forgery, domestic assault, driving with a revoked license.
And blaming sweatpants on dwarfs.
Listen to this guy's rap sheet. This guy's got everything.
Not cool, Cihak, man. Not cool.
So shut up, midget.
Oh my God! I mean, how pathetic is that? That you're 5'11", the sweatpants fit you, and then you blame some 4'1" dude. Because they're his sweatpants with the meth inside.
He likes them baggy and long and dragging behind him.
I gotta say, I pin everything wrong in my life on dwarfs.
Unbelievable.
Those are your scapegoats, huh?
Oh, by the way, Dave the Dwarf contacted me. He just recovered from COVID.
Oh, how's he doing?
Well, Dave the Dwarf, you know, he's had, you know, all kinds of medical issues, obviously. And Dave the Dwarf, he just had COVID, and he texted me, said, "Hey, man, I just recovered from COVID," and he was like, "Nothing can kill me." LOL.
It almost seems like that.
No, Dave, nothing can kill you, but something can take a little bit of quality of life away each time.
No, but Dave, you know, Dave was convinced when Dave the Dwarf was a regular on the MJ Morning Show. Dave the Dwarf claimed that like no dwarf with his type of dwarfism, I think it was lived past the age of like
45
or
something. Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah, yeah.
I met Dave when he was like 30 something, and he's like,
"Hey, man,
don't become too good of friends with me.
I'm not gonna be around."
Yeah, he's like, "I'm not gonna be around too much longer.
It's okay."
He told me that too.
He's like, "It's okay if we become homies, but we can't be too close." It's like, "Why?" He's like, "I'm gonna be dead soon."
And
like,
Dave the Dwarf is Dave the Dwarf is knocking on, I think, 60. I think he's late 50s now, isn't he?
He's doing better than he's been doing in the last couple of years.
Yeah. I always thought that you and Dave the Dwarf are like a similar age.
No, I think Dave the Dwarf is, I think he's like 4 years older than me. I think 5 years older. I think he's like late 50s now.
Really? So,
yeah. And by the way, you know, we've made contact, and I just heard from Shorty Shane. Shorty Shane just sent me a message over the weekend. "Hey, man, I heard you were talking about me."
Didn't you take some photos with him recently?
I did. I ran into Shorty Shane at Peepo's Cafe right here on the corner of 4th and Gandy, where they've got a, you know, delicious Cuban fare. And he was there with his friend. And Shorty Shane, I said, "Do you know Dave the Dwarf? I had a conversation with him." He said, "No." And I got a picture with Shorty Shane. David,
he's a mini pish.
Hold on.
Shorty Shane also, he's done videos with the psht guy. You know, what's that guy's
Ed
name?
Ed Bassmaster.
Yeah. So, so Shorty Shane dressed up as the mini psht guy with the same like colorful sweater. And he's just imitating all of Bassmaster going psht and, you know, holding the arms up in the air and everything.
Just ripping on people walking by. So it's great.
So we're going to have Shorty Shane on, but when I mentioned it to Dave the Dwarf, you know, Dave the Dwarf got a little bent out of shape. He's like,
"Really?"
Yeah, he's like, "Hey, man, you're replacing me on the show." I'm like, "No, Dave. I mean, I could have more than one, you know, dwarf guy on the show."
MJ, think about all the ideas you have for Fester to go do stuff on the streets, all his videos. Shorty Shane will do all of them.
In a second.
I mean, the thing is, I love Dave the Dwarf. I would never write Dave the Dwarf off, but Dave's not exactly...
Mobile
these days. Yeah, he's kind of, now he's getting better in rehab, but he is sort of walking with walkers now. But, you know, Dave the Dwarf has defied odds every step of the way. He was told, "Oh, he'll never walk again," and you know, Dave's doing pretty well. So
he'll always be our number one dwarf, but maybe we should get somebody in the mix that could go do some stuff.
Well, listen, I think Shorty Shane would love to do things on the show, so I told him I'd be in touch. We'll have Mon or we'll have Mim at some point in the near future. All right, here in Florida, what part of Florida? Now, the Tampa Bay area used to be the absolute go-to gold mine for morons, for idiot stories, for jackwagons in the news. You know, the density of the Tampa Bay area has been enormous.
Breeding ground.
Exactly. Radio morning shows all over the country, they're just waiting for the latest idiot stories, and a lot of them come out of Florida. And then a lot of them were coming out of the Tampa Bay area. Largo has been a big hotspot for the last couple of years. But what has turned into a great hotspot of late, Fester? Froggy? Rocks?
Okay, hold on. Anyone? Hold on. The Villages.
Yeah!
The Villages. Florida's friendliest hometown.
Yeah, baby. All right, so another one's out of the Villages. Another one. The question is...
The Villages should be its own sitcom.
You know, how does a postal worker think they're going to get away with sifting through 4,000 holiday greeting cards to steal cash? How do you think you could possibly get away with that?
I mean, well, can't you tell by just squeezing the envelope if there's something in it?
Not if it's, you know, paper money. Not if it's just, you know, a 20, a 50, a couple hundred bucks inside a holiday gift card.
The religious,
I mean, really, what kind of moron thinks they can get away with going through thousands of holiday cards trying to pilfer cash? Well, that's exactly what happened. A Florida letter carrier here in the Villages stole about 4,000 pieces of mail, almost all greeting cards from the Villages retirement community looking for cash in a whole month-long spree that, guess what, was uncovered by her own parents. Miranda Deely Fairley, or Farley. Miranda Deely, her middle name is D-E-L-E-E. How the hell do you pronounce that?
Deely?
Deely.
Okay.
It's D-E-L-E-E.
Okay.
Deely. Did you say two E's?
No. Two E's at the end. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Deely.
Okay,
Miranda Deely Farley, 25, admitted that she had an addiction to heroin. That's what I want to hear. I want to know that my postal carrier is addicted to heroin.
I don't care what they're addicted to. Just get my mail in the box, man.
My God.
Get it there before sundown.
So she claims that her heroin addiction caused her criminal behavior. The U.S. Postal Inspector, David Keith, is the whoever, you know, went after her in this case. Farley was a contract mail carrier for the USPS for 6 years, worked out of the Lady Lake office with a route that included the Villages.
I actually would prefer my mail carrier to be on heroin.
See, I'd prefer meth because you're going to get it faster, but heroin, no. You're going to kind of nod out. And
I think we're going to need that ISO, I prefer meth, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, give me. Yeah, that's good. Good pick, Froggy. Yeah, we need Roxanne saying, I prefer meth. I'm sure that's going to come in handy. That's going to come in about as handy as Ted, our program director, saying,
well.
Yeah.
Well. And she said it clean, too. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, give us an ISO on that. But, I mean, don't these idiots realize? I mean, I understand when you have a drug problem, you'll really do stupid things. But that is really, really stupid. To rifle through 4,000 pieces of mail, mostly greeting cards, opening them up, looking for cash to buy your next fix?
It actually sounds like a perfect scheme if it wasn't for her mother ratting her out.
But wait a minute. How? at some point, they're going to catch you because there's going to be all kinds of complaints. That's what the postal police do. They're detectives. They're going to put it together that all these people are complaining they never got their card. Okay, what's the common denominator? Okay, this individual had access to the card. They were going to figure this thing out anyway.
They have postal police.
But, here's the deal. Yes.
Do they have like little sirens on their mail delivery trucks?
They do. No. You've never seen the postal police cars driving around?
I've never seen the postal police. Stop, dude. In the name of the postal police.
Dude, I saw a U.S. Postal Police car just like last week. Oh,
those aren't forever stamps. You have to put two on.
They don't do that.
What the hell do they do? The postal police.
All right, so this woman's mother is also a contract letter carrier. And told the postmaster late in November that she'd found several tubs and bags of mail that had been rifled through in her daughter's bedroom. So she's bringing home tubs of mail to her home looking for Christmas cards to open up to steal the cash out to buy her next fix of H.
I told you to stay out of my room, Mom. God.
You love this. The defendant's father is also a postal carrier.
What's he on?
And both, nothing. They're on the straight and narrow. They both found more stolen mail in their daughter's car before the woman was relieved of her postal duties. Anyway, she's in trouble.
What a violation of family trust. You know, the old man's like, I brought you into this business and you just shamed our family.
I brought you in. I'll take you out. So she admitted to trying to score cash or gift cards. She confessed that while she had been working in the official capacity as mail carrier, that she targeted outgoing mail that was dropped off by residents. So I guess it was the grandparents, like in the Villages, sending cards out. It was like almost like shooting fish in a barrel.
Yeah, I bet.
You've got all these cards that grandparents in the Villages are mailing out to their grandkids and their kids. You know, so she's like, oh,
she
man.
She knew to target.
Score, you know, trying to score the cash.
I mean, if you see, like, the from line and her name is like, you know, Gertrude, and then the two line and the kid's name is like Cody, you know there's cash in there.
Yeah, the U.S. attorney here in Tampa is handling this thing, so she's in trouble. She's been charged with theft of mail by a Postal Service employee, faces up to 5 years in federal prison. Another fantastic story, folks. Another morons in the news out of
the villages.
Oh, yeah.
Norada's friendliest hometown.
I just don't understand how the hell anyone thinks they could get away with that. It's impossible. All right, when we get back, in just a matter of moments, losers. We got to talk about losers. Do you know that there are people that get off on being called losers?
Are you saying losers or losers? What are you saying?
Are you talking about like the Olympic event?
Yes, yes. Exactly. Thank you, Fester.
The ice tube.
Am I speaking that unclearly this morning that you thought I said loser?
Yes.
No, I said loser. A loser.
Unless you see somebody in a skin-tight suit and a weird helmet, you can't call him a loser.
Hang on. We'll get to all that next on the MJ Morning Show here on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
You got the MJ Morning Show, and this is Q105. It is 7:32 here on a Monday morning. Hey, everybody. It's MJ here in studio. It is Fester here in studio. It is Roxanne here in studio. Cooper, our producer, here in studio. Froggy happens to be at home because of the whole COVID protocol deal. Now, as far as we know, Froggy's not positive right now. But their young kid, Luke is positive, apparently caught the COVID in his, what, first grade classroom, Frog? Is that it?
Yeah, apparently. I don't know if parents, like their kid gets sick and they're like, he's fine, and then sends him to school or what. But I guess some people just don't test their kid.
You said the teacher had it, right?
Well, the teacher has it, too.
The teacher has it now because Kim, Froggy's wife, she texted Michelle last night saying, now we find out that Luke's first grade teacher has this Omicron has COVID. And I think 90% of the cases now or even more are the Omicron variant. So I'm imagining the teacher probably got it from the little first grade weasels is what I'm thinking.
I thought the teacher was the super spreader and she was like having the kids smell her breath on Friday or something.
No.
Hey, kids. Does my breath smell like alcohol?
Luke's like, it's fine.
Hey, kids, let's all sing together. Hey, that's a way to spread it.
Hey, Froggy.
Sing.
Sir?
I've got to run something by you. And if you say no, I'm going to come down there with my N95 mask on. I'm going to beat the crap out of you. All right. So, because.
First of all, I'll destroy you in a fight. Second of all, go ahead and tell me.
Well, hold on. I got to get to the loser story first. And then I've got to run something by you. We've got to do this. It has to be done. It's got to be done probably today, maybe even this morning. Maybe we'll even do this live on the air. Because you guys are trying to hunt out COVID testing centers now for the whole family, right?
We're trying to just get anything. Yeah. We have a testing center, but we want to get one of the home ones.
All right, well, hold on a sec. We'll get to that in just a matter of moments.
What's that?
Froggy, what is...
Sorry, every time I touch the mic, it vibrates. Like,
well, don't touch your mic. You're causing a ground loop of some sort. Don't touch it.
Okay. Just one more time.
All right, Roxanne, can I get a little personal for a moment?
We do every day. Okay, what's going on?
Have you ever dated a guy... Now, first of all, how many guys, and listen, you can ask me, I'm an open book. It's not like I ask you things and you can't ask me things.
That's totally untrue. Just last week, you asked me something and then Froggy asked you the same question and you wouldn't answer it.
And what was that?
You said, don't talk about exes when Froggy asked you a question on the heels of you asking me a question that was personal about an ex.
I talked about one of the that we got into the purse deal where
this is a one-way street. I've kind of figured that out.
I got into a huge fight with an ex-girlfriend named Beth, and I had given her a Fendi purse, and it was such a nasty fight that I said, "Give me that purse back." And then I tried to shred. What are you clutching the pearls for over there?
That's awful.
Abusive.
I gave her, it was not abusive. I never laid a hand on her. But
just narcissistic abusiveness.
I grabbed the Fendi purse that I had just given her, and I didn't grab it from her. It was like on the table or something.
You're a purse snatcher.
I was a purse.
This is the best, though.
This is a true MJ story. This is circa 1988. Virginia Beach, Virginia, 1327 Destination Lane, Virginia Beach, right behind the Farm Fresh. That was my address. And I gave Beth the Fendi purse, and we got into the relationship was coming to an end. It was like just a matter of days before this thing was just like totally toast. And I'd given her the Fendi purse, and then she was like yelling at me, screaming at me, and she dented my washing machine in the apartment.
God, what a horrible relationship.
She just had some serious issues.
I think she found something of Michelle's in the dryer. Because I was starting to see Michelle.
And she was washing your clothes at your house already.
You two-timer.
So, whose granny panties are these, Todd?
They were not granny panties. It was a tight ribbed.
Oh God, that's enough.
No, let me finish my sentence. And I still haven't gotten to the loser story yet, which I need to ask you about this. Okay. So Michelle, Coop, are you enjoying this?
Oh, wait till the end.
Coop, are you enjoying this, Coop? All right. So, this will end in a minute here, folks. So Michelle was at my house and I was starting to date Michelle. I knew that the time with Beth was just, was like all the expiration clock was about to ding. So Michelle had left a tight jockey, jockey underwear for women.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like this ribbed cotton white top, like an undershirt. And
like a wife beater.
Yeah, and it wasn't a wife beater. It was a female jockey.
Okay.
It was like a ribbed shirt. It was kind of sexy. And Michelle had left this at my house and somehow it ended up in the laundry pile. And Beth was like going through my laundry and she's like, "What is this?"
And you said it's mine.
I can't remember what I said, but that was that was
the beginning of the,
so
the quickly
it,
the
it
end.
It got really nasty. She then kicks my washing machine and puts a gigantic dent in the washing machine and then slams her hand on the top and dents
it. That's my Maytag 3200. What are you doing?
She smashes her hand on the top, kicks the washer. My washing machine ends up looking like it was in a car accident. And then everyone, my parents came over like, "What happened to your washing machine?" And I don't want to tell them that Beth, my soon-to-be ex, had assaulted my washing machine.
Was she Hulk smash? How strong is she?
Oh, Beth smash.
Then she turned green. She turned green.
Oh.
So I had given her the Fendi purse. And this was like a couple months earlier. And then she was yelling at me. She smashed my washing machine. It was just a nasty argument. And for whatever reason, I grabbed her purse off the table. I didn't take it off of her. And I said something like, she mentioned something with the purse. I grabbed the purse and I'm like, I was so enraged because she smashed my washing machine that I put the purse on the floor and I put my foot on the purse. And I'm going to rip this purse apart. This is like a $200 Fendi purse, right? And I had no shoes on. I was barefoot.
Yeah, a lot of lessons were learned that day.
Yes, a lot of lessons were learned. So I was barefoot. I put my foot on the purse, and I yanked the purse up. And I totally bent the living crap out of my big toe. I broke my big toe. It was in a very
purse.
It was
pointing at you, wasn't it?
It was in a very unnatural bent position because I broke my big toe trying to shred the Fendi purse.
Which That's a really well-made purse, Jesus.
That was worth every penny. Do you have to go to her for help after your digit is broken?
I'm screaming in pain. I'm writhing in pain. She's
laughing.
She's laughing at me. Then she left, and I think we were done the next day. I think it was like totally, I think maybe it was that afternoon. We were like totally done, and that was it.
Totally over.
Totally.
It was big totally over. Yeah.
So, it totaled the relationship.
That's like a Fairley Brothers movie scene.
All right. So, Roxanne, back to the origination of my question. How many guys have you dated?
What?
What does that have to do?
Because it's going to be. I'm not asking this gratuitously. I'm asking this.
Ask how many guys I haven't dated.
Yeah, that's actually a shorter list.
About how many guys do you think you
know? Like
Roxanne, I'm not getting ultra personal here.
Well, you know, it's already personal. It's already personal because in revealing that would like reveal my age.
Yeah, but I no, it doesn't. It doesn't necessarily reveal.
I don't know. About. The past is in the past.
All right. But this is important because I need to ask you a question related.
You pick a number.
You pick a number. It's your date.
Okay, so you could
about how many guys do you think you've dated?
Okay, let me ask you this question. Yes.
Could you feel the whole baseball team?
Roxanne,
nine players on the field, 10 players? How many people are on the baseball field?
This is a question. What are you define date?
How many guys
have I gone to dinner with?
Roxanne, how many guys have you had or have you dated?
I don't know. Just say less than 10.
For more than a month.
I don't.
More than a month?
Less than 10. Yeah.
It's probably like 5 or 6, you know, like any normal.
Like 5 or 6. I don't look in the past. I'm just thinking about the current times.
The reason why I'm at, just play along with the radio, okay. Please.
Get to your point, MJ. don't focus on her, please. For the love of God, get to your point. Right.
So the reason why I'm asking this. Have you ever dated a guy that wanted to be called like a loser or wanted to be humiliated?
Oh, aside from Doug? No, I'm just kidding. We don't do anything like that. No, I have not.
You never had any like weird guy that had some kind of a thing going on and wanted to be humiliated or like dominated or anything like that?
No, nothing like that.
The reason why I'm asking this, and Froggy, it's not going to shock me at all if you know who this individual is.
Okay.
I had no idea who this was until I read the story. One of the biggest stars on the Twitch platform, and Twitch is a video platform, and a lot of gamers use Twitch, right?
Yeah, I game on Twitch. Twitch is a big platform for gamers, but it's also moved into other things, like people just talking in a tub in a bikini.
Yeah, well, that's the deal. Because, yeah, you showed me a video... I don't know, a couple of months ago, there was some very attractive young woman that was like, I think she might have been in a tub.
Yeah, well, I pitched you an idea that I think Fester should do the show in a tub in a bikini, the whole show, because that's a big popular thing on Twitch.
But like, you go, what do you mean? Like Froggy was showing me a video, this is like 4 or 5 months ago, and Froggy's like, come over here. And he shows me this video on his computer screen of like a young woman in a tub, she's not naked. She's like covered up by like bubbles, or she had a bikini on, whatever the hell. And Froggy's like, look, she's got 37,000 viewers right now. I'm like, what?
No, she had like 70,000.
All right, I'm sorry. 70,000 viewers just watching a young woman just
sit in a bathtub.
Sit in a bathtub. 70,000 viewers. So
her name is Amaranth. Amaranth. She's very popular.
Oh my God. That's who I'm talking about.
Really?
So, yes, that's the story.
The redhead? Oh my God,
that's her. It's Amaranth. Amourant. So that's
the girl I showed you.
I didn't know that. That's exactly the story I just found.
Oh, she's very big on Twitch. I'm a big fan.
Listen to this. She's got a guy that's going to pay her $8,000 to call him a loser on Twitch. To call this guy a loser on video, the guy is going to pay her $8,000.
And is she going to call him a loser in front of all of her followers?
Yes.
Or like just like a private message to him?
No, it's going to be on her channel or however this works. It's going to be visible to whoever signs on and whoever's watching her video, and she might be in a bathtub again. The guy is going to pay her $8,000 to be called a loser.
Well, by definition, she would be right if he's parting with that kind of money to be called a name.
In a
she also Well, one of her big things that she's been doing lately is she has a microphone, but it's like an ASMR microphone. They have like this new microphone. It's in the shape of an ear. Have you seen these?
No.
It's like a microphone in the shape of an actual human ear, and she like licks it and kisses it, and it makes it sounds like this.
Are you serious?
She does that, and she just licks this like microphone ear, and there's like 100,000 people watching her. It's like the hottest thing ever.
That is, I mean, she's very, very attractive, and
yes.
What are you laughing at, Froggy?
She's definitely attractive. I'll give you that.
I'm looking at her picture right now. I mean, she's a very attractive young woman.
Okay, I'm watching a video of Amaranth washing horses,
and she's wearing like tight riding pants. So she's got those tight spandexy horse riding pants on,
yeah, and a cute little crop top.
Everything's tight.
She's got like a tight top, and she's a very busty woman as well. How old is she?
She must be like 23.
It looks 24? Like she's probably maybe mid-20s tops. The story
she's a multimillionaire.
From just doing videos on Twitch. So she revealed last week that a guy is going to pay her, an admirer is going to pay her $8,000 to call for her to call him a loser on video. Someone offered up $8,000 to flip them off and call them a loser on my fan page.
Okay.
And she said, I'm going to do it. So she is one of Twitch's most popular, prolific creators. She has 5 million followers. And it says that she broadcasts to her 5 million followers up to 12 hours a day?
Yeah, she actually, remember that I showed you a video of her sleeping? She was just sitting there sleeping.
Oh, that's the same one. So Froggy, yeah. That's right. Before Froggy showed me this woman in the bathtub, and again, no nudity. She was just in a bubble bath with nothing exposed. So then, that's right. Before that, Froggy said, hey, come look at this woman. She's just sleeping. So she has the camera on her while she's sleeping, and it was like tens of thousands of people were watching her just sleep.
I'm not that impressed anymore of her broadcasting 12 hours a day if like 7 of them are her sleeping.
Yeah, and she's like covered by the blood. You can't even see her, and people are just watching. Fester, I just sent you an email of the ear microphone video.
I don't want to see
it. MJ, you got to see this.
All right. Well, I'll look at it during a break.
So what's the difference?
No, you got to see it here.
Well, let me. I don't have my phone with me.
She's no,
it's
really...
It's in your email.
In Fester's email?
Yes.
All right. So, wait, Fester, open up your email.
It's in your ear mail.
My Gmail account?
Yeah, Fester's looking at this.
No, MJ Morning Show account.
I don't have access to that one. I told you that.
Fester was watching Amaranth just washing a horse.
I'll look up ear microphone.
Okay.
There you go. Amaranth ear microphone. It'll pop up the first thing. You got to see this.
It's, first of all, you got to...
Ear microphone. What's your name?
Amaranth. 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 Anyway, back
to... You got to get one of these mics.
All right.
Do you have it?
I guess. I don't know.
ASMR hot ear eating.
Okay. So hold on, you still have the horse playing. I hear her washing the horse.
Watch the horse.
Here we go. Okay. Shut the horse off.
She has these microphones with ears at the end of them.
Oh my god, she's just licking. She's just licking microphones.
Listen to the audio.
All right, go ahead.
Listen to it.
All right, go ahead.
All right. Scrolling a little bit.
All right, go ahead. Hit play. Oh my god, she's just licking a microphone.
She deserves everything she gets. She deserves to be a millionaire. Good for her.
How great is that?
Good for her.
The question I've been wanting to ask is, She's obviously a beautiful woman. She's 23 years old.
Right.
But what makes her make millions of dollars versus other beautiful 23-year-old women? And I think I just figured it out.
She's licking microphones on video. My god.
She thinks outside the box is what she does.
Well, obviously.
Those things are literally shaped like ears. And guys like,
this Amaranth, who was going to be paid $8,000 to just call a guy a loser on her video channel and flip him off, she apparently, she did it. Listen to this. This is amazing. She told Vice, you know Vice, the website?
Right.
She told Vice that she makes $1.5 million a month. Posting content on Twitch. $1.5 million a month. And then she also, I guess, posts other content on OnlyFans, which can be a little more explicit.
Wow. Good for her.
Listen, when you got 18,000 people watching you sleep, that's just money. She's making money. It's just rolling in while she's sleeping.
That's like real deal. You're making money while they sleep.
You want to talk about all these passive income guys. Make money while you're sleeping.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's how this all started. Because I saw the story that some loser literally is going to pay her $8,000 to call the guy a loser on video.
Are we the losers for talking about them? Talking about her?
I don't know.
Besser, you got to get an ear microphone and just go to town on it.
I got another microphone for you. It's what? My elbow.
Ooh.
And you got to lick it.
All right, Fester, cut the crap, would you please? All right, what Froggy.
If anyone wants to, can I just say, if anyone wants to go and watch this video, I've honestly never, I mean, she's pretty amazing.
I told you.
It's kind of mesmerizing. It's kind of like hypnotic.
But what she's doing with licking this microphone stand, I mean, it is very suggestive.
Yeah, of course it is.
She's working for her donations.
Roxanne, you're fixated by this. Do you like watching a woman lick a microphone?
No, but you can't turn away.
She really gets into it.
Roxanne can't turn away.
That's the problem. You can't stop watching.
I can't look. That's why she's making $1.5 million a month.
I get it. I totally get it.
Oh, my
God.
Good for
her.
All right. So, Froggy.
Yes.
What's the family doing right now? So, obviously, folks, Froggy's at home. If you noticed any sound difference, Froggy is at home right now because Luke, his 7-year-old, was diagnosed with COVID, probably the Omicron variant. We found out that other kids in his class have it. The teacher just announced over the weekend, the first grade teacher, that she has Omicron or she has COVID. So Froggy's at home. What is the status of the rest of the family, Froggy? So right now you don't think you're positive, but you might be. Is anyone else sick in the house?
Everybody else seems to feel fine at the moment. Even Luke. Luke had a fever on Saturday, and Sunday morning it was gone, and he's been good since then.
Okay.
So we're just keeping him in his room, through the PlayStation in there, through a TV in there.
Okay, all right. So this is what I need you to do. Did you see the story out of Texas? And
no.
Hey, Fessa, can you turn the licking mic thing off? It's really distracting me.
I was just subscribing to the channel. I'm sorry.
It's really distracting me.
Sorry.
I'm like, just shut the thing down, would you please?
Go Amaranth.
All right. So I can't believe I found the story. It's the exact one that you were talking about. All right. So Froggy, did you hear the story about the arrest warrant being issued for a Texas teacher who put her COVID positive son in the trunk of the car? And then and drove to one of those drive-through testing centers with the kid in the trunk of the car.
With the trunk closed?
All right, listen.
Well, he's already positive, so he didn't need to get tested.
All right, listen to this. Sarah Beam is charged with child endangerment. Cops have issued an arrest warrant. The teacher, fearing exposure of COVID-19. Put her own son, a 13-year-old son of hers, in the trunk of her car to drive him to a testing site. So the mother's now charged after the kid was found in the trunk of the car while in line at a drive-through COVID-19 testing site,
okay. According
to the Harris County District Attorney in Texas.
What's the big deal here?
It's just safety.
Yeah, seriously, they're trying to isolate from each other. What do you do? Sit in the back seat? That doesn't do anything. You have to get in the trunk.
The only problem I have is I have a truck, so I guess I could throw them in the bed.
That would be it.
All right.
They're trying to isolate. These people should be awarded.
You know, but
I don't have a car. Fester has a car. I don't have a car with a trunk.
Well, Kim, that's right. Kim has an SUV, so it's just a hatchback. Oh, you guys.
And I have a truck.
You guys don't have the right vehicle. Yeah, Fester's going to have to drive over there with the 2004 Lincoln Town car.
I can fit both your kids back there.
You can put the whole family can fit
Seriously?
In that trunk. You can put the
or
whole.
Just drag your kids down there.
You can put the whole Froggy Cusmano family in the trunk of your Lincoln Town car.
The key is, Froggy, the kid was already positive. So they brought him down to be tested, but the mother didn't want anything to do with it.
All right, according to KPRC television, the incident happened January 3rd when Sarah Beam pulled into a Cy-Fair ISD drive-through COVID testing site, and a witness claimed that she heard a noise coming from her trunk.
That's like Goodfellas.
It is. It's Goodfellas. They got Billy Bats in the trunk.
Mine, need a knife, you know. It's the hoof. God bless.
Okay. Billy Bats is in the trunk.
What do you want from me?
A witness hears a noise coming from the trunk. It's her 13-year-old son who couldn't ride in the car with her, put the 13-year-old in the trunk of the car and drives him to the drive-thru testing site in a parking lot.
I mean, eventually you have to let him out to get tested, and then you have to put him back in front of all the people to go home.
When Beam opened the trunk, that's when witnesses found her 13-year-old son lying down inside.
So I'm understanding this. So she was okay with her. It's not like she's trying to sneak and do that. She's like, here he is.
So she told witnesses that she put her son in the trunk since he was COVID-19 positive and wanted to protect herself from exposure.
Good thinking.
While taking him for additional testing at the setup testing site by the city.
I'm kind of on the mother's side on this.
However, witnesses told Beam that she needed to place her son in the back seat of the vehicle before she could get a test. So wait a minute. She opens up the trunk and expected the testers to swab the kid in the trunk and then what, close the trunk back down on him?
All right, so
do the swab and just slam it.
That's where this whole plan falls apart. You can't just hit the button and release the trunk hatch and say he's back there.
Okay, go get him. I swab him up. Five swirls up. Just jam that swab all the way up those nostrils. Do some twirls. All right, close the trunk. Boom. The cops were called. So
poor kid. He takes a big deep breath when they open the. No air in there.
See, that's a good point, Froggy, because this is a bad conversation. Because she says, "Hey, look, I put him in the trunk because I didn't want his air circulating with mine, which then has to trigger to the mom. There is no air in the trunk. It's not circulating."
So the witnesses at the swabbing site, the COVID test site, they then called the police. And a warrant has been issued for child endangerment. And the TV station in Houston says that Beam was employed as a teacher with Cypress Falls High School, but they currently have put her on administrative leave.
Okay, boys and girls, I'll be your substitute teacher for today. Your other teacher won't be here because she put her child in a trunk.
Yeah, the testing site released a statement that they were alerted that a child was in the trunk of a car at a drive-through COVID testing site earlier this week. Law enforcement conducted an investigation resulting in a warrant for arrest. Thankfully, nobody was harmed.
Jeez. How long of a drive was it, I wonder?
I don't know. Can you imagine, hey son, get in the trunk. We're driving to the COVID site.
But wait, mama.
Okay, he wasn't tied up and gagged, Froggy.
But that's what it would sound like if he was in the trunk.
That is unbelievable.
And you can't tie him up. You can't get COVID. You can't touch him.
All right, so we got to reenact this, but we need a fester. You're going to have to go over to Froggy. I'll give you some N95s.
I'm not getting near my kid. No, yesterday, I let him shoot hoops like far away from me. Here, Daddy. And I was like, you would have thought the basketball was covered in acid. I ran away from it.
Hey, is your wife, is Kim home?
Yes.
Is Kim near you? Can you yell to Kim and tell him that MJ wants to put Luke in the trunk of Fester's car? See what she says.
Okay, hang on. Let me go get her.
All right. Just see if I don't think that's a problem.
Kim's going to love that.
All right, go ahead and yell for her.
Kim!
Is she coming? What's going on, Froggy? Take his headphones off. Can you not hear us?
I think he stepped away.
I think Froggy stepped away.
Oh.
But I think this is a natural. We have the story of the kid being put in the trunk of the car for COVID testing by the mother, and now we've got Froggy's son is COVID positive, and this is just a no brainer.
Let's put one of you guys in the trunk before we try it on one of his kids.
Obviously, Luke, 7-year-old Luke, needs to be tested. We put him in Fester's car trunk and drive him to one of those testing sites.
Hello?
Hey, Kim, can we put Luke in the trunk of Fester's car and drive him to a COVID testing site?
Absolutely not.
I'd be happy to help the family.
We got enough going on without stupid questions like that. We're not doing that.
Do you know the story about the lady in Texas?
Yes, I heard you tell the story. We're not doing that.
I think it's the video would be precious, Kim.
Precious for who?
Okay.
For me, while I'm sitting in jail for putting my child in the trunk of a car?
Technically.
Sounds great.
Kim, technically.
Frame it. It'll be great. My jail cell will be really decorated nicely. Thank you.
One, Kim, I would be going to jail because I would be driving him in my car.
I'm his parent. I allowed you to do it. So maybe we could share a cell.
I think everyone's going to jail.
Yeah, it'll be great. All right, we've all talked about it. We're all accomplices.
All getting booked into Orion Road.
Yes.
Kim would be a good
cell. And I might have COVID, so we could all spread it. It'll be fun.
All right, so Kim, what's the deal? Do you have enough testing kits to test the whole family right now, or you don't?
I'm trying to we don't have any more right now. We got them from Froggy's mom.
Right.
And she has more, but we don't want to keep taking her tests. So we're trying to figure out. I just spoke to the school and got their protocol on, you know, what we can do. And it's up to us.
All right, so, Kim, are all the local drugstores like CVS and Walgreens and the local mom and pop, is everyone sold? Walmart, is everyone sold at Publix? Are they all sold out of home test kits?
Yeah, they're sold out. Froggy's parents actually found them at, like, random Winn-Dixie stores.
Right.
And you're limited to 5 each. So his mom went in and got 5, and then his dad went in and got 5. And then they went to another location, and they got 5 more. So they had 15 to start with.
So what, are they hoarding the damn things? Why don't they give you enough for the family to test?
They're down to 8. They're down to 8. So, you know, we don't want to keep taking their tests because we don't know if we can replace them.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Why do they need to get tested?
Yeah, but they don't have... You've got COVID in your...
They had an exposure as well, and so that's why they stocked up on tests.
So how's Luke doing? Is he showing you...
15.
Is Luke showing any signs or anything, or is he ill?
Luke has not shown any symptoms since Saturday. So he woke up with a 99.1 temperature and a cough and a sore throat on Saturday, and then his fever spiked to 101.3. And we managed that with just like some Tylenol. Well,
it sounds like a bunch of radio stations you're calling out. How about a 104.7?
Oh my God. We'd really be in trouble.
Can we get a 104.7, please? Come on.
I know. He had 104.7.
Hey, we used to work for years at 93.3, but that'd be way too low, I think.
Yeah, that'd be low. That would be another issue completely. So he hasn't had a fever or any symptoms since Saturday afternoon. So now it's just kind of like, we have an asymptomatic child just walking around we're not walking around his house. He's confined to his room, which is a problem in itself.
Did you guys like put up like plastic sheeting to seal him in? Like something out of an Anthrax movie?
No, the door's just shut and, you know.
But it could seep out under the crack, Kim.
We're masking in our house. I'm wearing a mask right now. We're masking in the house because we don't know what's moving through the air conditioning. We just don't know. So everybody's masking. I mean, Max got in the shower last night wearing his mask because he forgot he had it on.
Oh my God.
So, I mean, it's just a mess over here. I can't express to you how stressful it is. All right,
so that's why Froggy, folks, Froggy's not... The breaking news on Froggy is COVID exposed potentially with his 7-year-old son, Luke, who's got it. And they're all like quarantining at their home in town and country right now.
You know, Kim, I read online that for a family with the COVID, it's best that everybody in the house be completely naked because it's for quick disinfecting.
Oh, good. We did that all day yesterday.
So great.
We checked that box as well. We've just been doing it all. It's really fun over here.
And by the way, Kim and the kids were supposed to come over to our house on Saturday morning.
I know. How crazy would that have been if we actually came over?
Oh, but my God.
Diligent mom and I that I did not expose you to my children's germs.
All right, so here's the deal. Was Froggy going to come too, or is Froggy not coming?
He was going to swing by real quick and just grab a biscuit and then leave.
So Michelle invited Kim and the kids and Froggy over to our backyard on Saturday morning because Michelle makes the most unbelievable buttermilk biscuits. And Kim texts Michelle first thing Saturday morning, "We're not going to make it. Luke has COVID." I'm like, man, thank God you didn't come over and like give it to us all. And then later that night, find out that he was like COVID positive, spreading germs everywhere, you know?
I mean, I texted Michelle just when he woke up and was like, "I don't feel good." I mean, I was like, "We're not coming. He's sick. We're trying to test." And then I updated you that.
That's right. Then you did the test and it came up. Now, you did the home test where you get the 2 lines. Is that what happened?
Yeah. And it was crazy because, you know, it's like a pregnancy test, Roxanne, I know you're familiar.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a control line and then there's a, you know, the line that tells you if it's positive or negative.
Right.
And normally, you know, you see the liquid moving up from, you know, to let you know that the test is working.
Right.
And the positive or negative line is actually first, and then the control line is above it. Luke's his test was, he was positive before I even got to the control line. I mean, it lit up like a Christmas tree.
Oh my God.
Immediately.
Like he
immediately.
Was radioactive. Like he was.
We didn't even have to wait the 15 minutes. It just immediately, that line was there.
Like that's what I heard. Like he fell it's into crazy. The containment vessel at Fukushima or something.
Correct.
Here's the display. I have a friend who was positive over the weekend.
Right.
And he, of course, he went straight to Facebook.
Of course.
Is that a thing that people are like putting all of their positive tests on social media?
I'm sorry, but that's
weird. Are you really positive unless you post it on social media?
Oh, jeez.
I mean, we haven't posted any pictures on social media.
Well, like you're behind the curve. And he's like, I am positive that I am positive.
I mean, I have all four of our tests. And like I told Froggy, I'm like, hey, you should post this and just be like, one of these things is not like the other. Because I have them labeled with names because, you know, I didn't want to get things confused. And, you know, so one has two lines and everybody else has one.
I can't. What do you think about Bob Saget being found dead in a hotel room? Things could be worse. You know, Bob Saget dead in a hotel room in Orlando.
Yeah, I mean, there are always worse things going on. So, you know, we've done this before with Max, so.
So you're saying, no, I can't put Luke in the trunk of the car?
No, absolutely.
And drive him to a testing site?
No,
we're not going to do that.
All right. All right, put Froggy back on. Poor Bob Saget, come on!
Whatever happened to predictability? The milkman, the paperboy, evening TV. Everywhere
you look, everywhere you go. I gotta be honest. You know, Bob Saget would be the last guy. If someone said, you know, give me a list of 10 celebrities that could be found dead in their hotel room. Everywhere. I mean, would Bob Saget have been on anyone's list?
No.
Not on mine.
Faster, Coop, a Froggy, would Bob Saget be on your list of someone that would check out?
I can't hear you.
Why can't you hear me?
Can you not hear you over the music? Is it a feed issue?
Froggy, can you hear me now?
Don't get out of here and don't take my airtime anymore. Ever again.
Who are you talking to?
Don't talk to her like that.
I invited Kim onto the show, Froggy.
Quite frankly, she was...
I'm just kidding. I don't talk to
better
her.
Better than you.
Of course. All right, listen. Bob Saget would have been the last celebrity that I would have thought would check out. The last one.
Well, there's been no news of him feeling ill or anything. Nobody expects a 65-year-old to kick the bucket.
He's like a spry, young-looking 65-year-old guy.
That's what I was going to say. I've seen all these social media posts of recent pictures of him on tour, and he looks fantastic.
He does. So, again, we spoke about this when we first launched the show at 6 o'clock this morning when we came on. We hit the air in total shock. So, Full House, obviously. And, of course, AFV.
That laughs from coast to coast to make you smile. A real bright look at each of you to capture all that style. You're the red, white, and blue. The funnest things you do. America, America, this is you. Stories from...
Remember this? America,
so
this
he
is,
was the original.
He was. He started this show before, what's his face? Yeah, the Dancing with the Stars guys took over. Tom Bergeron, yeah.
Right.
This was a catchy jingle. America, this is you.
We don't need a second verse.
How long is this damn thing going to run?
This is a long intro. All right, so you forget MJ.
Hang on, Fester, it's almost over. Oh, now we got the jazz solo. Here comes the sax. All right, Fester, go ahead.
You guys remember?
Well, you forget the Daisy Fuentes days also, MJ.
You guys remember when they showed the family, the fake family?
What fake family?
Oh, yeah, watching TV.
I can't hear you. Turn off this awful music.
He can't hear over the music. Yeah.
Oh, hang on a minute. Is it feeding down? All right. So I turned it off.
On the old original intro of America's Funniest Home Videos at the time, they were like, pan to a staged family just laughing their asses off on the couch.
Oh, okay.
That was Froggy's family.
All right, so what do we know about Bob Saget? What we know is that the Orange County... bring the tweet back up, Fester.
Sure.
We know that the Orange County Sheriff's Office put out a tweet last night at 7:46 p.m. And the Orange County Sheriff's Office said that he was found unresponsive in a hotel room. Here's the actual tweet. This was, again, 7:46 p.m. last night, Sunday night. Earlier today, deputies were called to the Ritz-Carlton Orlando Grand Lakes for a call about an unresponsive man in a hotel room. The man was identified as Robert Saget, Bob Saget, and pronounced deceased on the scene. Detectives found no signs of foul play or drug use in this case. So we were speculating earlier that I would expect Bob Saget to be involved in any kind of drugs.
No.
You know, I'm guessing that once the report comes out, I'm guessing that once an autopsy is performed, that it's going to be one of like three things. It's going to be a massive heart attack. It's a massive stroke, or maybe he had some type of an aneurysm that just, you know, took him like that.
Suddenly.
Just a sudden death.
Isn't it weird that the cops put no signs of foul play or drug use in this case without an investigation, a full investigation?
No, because you go into a place and you can tell if the place is a bloody mess and there's like blood all over the place and there's stab wounds.
Or like if there's drug paraphernalia.
Exactly. Let's say if he's doing a speedball or something. You know, look at all the famous celebrities that have died from drugs. You know, they got a lighter, they got a burnt spoon, they got syringes all over the place. They got maybe
they got hanging from the closet.
Exactly. I mean, you could
like David Carradine.
Like David Carradine or who was the NXS guy?
Or Robin Williams.
Yeah, right. Robert, what was it? Hutchins. Who was the lead singer from NXS? Come over here.
So he was
found in a closet with the whole autoerotic asphyxiation thing.
So
right?
This guy was Bob Saget.
Same thing with Carradine. Go ahead, Fester.
Bob Saget was either laying in bed or he fell in front of the sink and he was dead on the floor.
Hey, guess who else died in a hotel room? One of my favorite actors of all time.
Who?
Hey, come on.
Philip Seymour Hoffman?
No, he was found dead in his apartment in Soho, I believe.
Did John Belushi die in a hotel room?
He did, but he died at the Chateau Marmont, remember? Okay. In one of the bungalows.
Whitney Houston?
But that was drug related.
Whitney Houston died in a hotel room?
In a bathtub.
Oh, Anna Nicole Smith, was she at... She did Anna Nicole. Who died?
She was in a hotel.
Yeah. She was at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, right?
Yeah.
In South Florida. Anna Nicole Smith.
A lot of celebrities died in hotels. Now that I think about it.
Come on, Froggy. You imitate them all the time.
Tony Soprano.
Yes, James Gandolfini. He had a massive heart attack and dropped dead on the hotel room bathroom floor in Rome. And remember what happened there.
A very sad situation.
Well, you remember what happened? Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Well, say it.
They stole his watch.
They stole his watch. We're on the air.
Yes.
Say it.
You know what's crazy? James Gandolfini died.
I got Roxanne doing Pictionary over here. I got Roxanne.
Johnny Sack took my watch.
It's hard because Froggy's working at home, so I wasn't trying to talk all over right. him. Yeah, his watch is gone.
What's amazing is the actual death of Gandolfini would have been better than what the actual conclusion of Sopranos was.
Dead
on the floor, get his watch stolen.
You know, seriously, one of the paramedics or one of the EMTs stole James Gandolfini's gold Rolex off his wrist.
Terrible.
As he was dead on the floor at some Rome, Italy hotel, someone stole his watch.
Must be one of Uncle Junior's guys.
Exactly. Somebody from Tony Sack's crowd.
All right, so back to Bob Saget, who died more recently.
All right, so Bob Saget, so the statement was put out by the Orange County Sheriff's Office, and of course, the huge outpouring of all of the celebrities, you know, all his co-stars, like John Stamos put out a statement. Have the Olsen twins said anything yet?
The Olsen twins put out a statement and they're very, very private. You know, they don't say anything.
They just count their billions.
Exactly. Yeah. But you know, Lori Loughlin, I haven't seen any statement from her yet.
Nothing from Lori Loughlin?
Yeah.
Is she in jail still?
No, she's out. Of course, Lori Loughlin, she was involved in that whole college admissions scandal because her two daughters, they got into what? Was it USC?
USC, yeah.
And they faked being crew rowers. Yeah.
They've never been on a crew boat.
They've never touched a paddle, and then suddenly they were recruited
been in a J crew either. Yeah,
exactly.
MJ, here's a statement from the Olsen twins right in front of you.
All right. The Olsen twins put out this statement about Bob Saget. quote, Bob was the most loving, compassionate, and generous man. We are deeply saddened that he's no longer with us, but know that he will continue to be by our side to guide us as gracefully as he always has. Mm-hmm. We're thinking of his daughters, wife, and family, and are sending our condolences, Mary Kate and Ashley Olson. You know what sucks? And I've got some personal experience with Bob Saget. I'll tell that story in a second. Like three or four times with Bob Saget. But can you imagine? He's on the road doing his comedy tour. His family's probably back home in California. I think that's where he lived. Can you imagine? He goes out on the road, probably talk to the family.
Be home in 3 days, honey.
Yeah, and you never see them again. That just, you know, it's not like you have a relative that got sick and had a prolonged illness and you get to kind of come to terms.
Both are bad for different reasons.
Your husband and you're home alone. You got your kids. I don't think he's got young kids. I don't know how old Bob Saget's kids were. I don't think they're too young.
He's got a young wife.
But, you know, he's got, well, look.
His wife is like 23 or 25 years younger.
All right. Well, look up and see how old the kids are. But can you imagine that Saget's on the road and then suddenly he's gone? And that's got to be the worst is you didn't get to say goodbye.
Right.
You didn't get to condition yourself. You're just, and, you know, going back to the discovery process, you know, we were also speculating this morning, how was Bob Saget discovered? Was he supposed to check out of the hotel? Was his family trying to get a hold of him? And they called the front desk. This happened at the Ritz-Carlton or in Orlando. Did they call the hotel and say, hey, Bob Saget, my husband is in the hotel. We can't get a hold of him. Maybe they tried to ring the room. They tried his cell phone. No response. Did they send somebody up for a wellness check and they found him dead? Did housekeeping try to go in and found, you know, we don't know all the details yet. Is there anything new that you've seen?
I haven't seen anything new as to that discovery beyond 4 p.m., but something just popped into my head. When we were talking about the Olsen twins,
yeah.
This probably was like a trigger for, it was Mary Kate, because wasn't she with Heath Ledger when he was found dead in a hotel room? Or she was with him that night?
At an apartment or something.
Is that sounding familiar to you?
Heath Ledger, didn't he also die in Soho?
Okay, yeah, it was Soho.
I think, yeah, a lot of, like, Philip Seymour Hoffman was, I think, found dead in Soho. Wasn't it?
Yes.
I think. And then, if I'm not mistaken, and then I think Heath Ledger was also found dead in Soho in Manhattan, which mm-hmm. is Soho is south of Houston in lower Manhattan.
Yeah.
So he has three daughters all in their upper 20s or 30s.
Well, that's
or
I'm lower 30s. So sad.
Bob Saget.
And let me tell you, Saget, you know, he did a lot of wholesome stuff. So family, Full House, rather. Full House was like a family show. America's Funniest Home Videos was a family show. And then, of course, later on, he got into his stand-up comedy act, which became very blue.
His comedy was always blue before he was cast on Full House.
See, I didn't know that.
He was doing that in his early days.
He was a stand-up comic, and he was really, really blue. And then he gets his job as super wholesome guy,
right.
And then everybody gets introduced to him, and he's like, this isn't who I want to be or so am. Then, it's an actor.
So after the whole TV stuff ended, and he had a lot of years doing Full House and then America's Funniest Home Videos, and of course, I think it was simultaneous for a while, then he got back to his comedy roots. For years, he's been doing stand-up comedy, but I always heard that he was dirty. He was really, but people loved him. I never saw him live, but my contact with Bob Saget is that during the heyday, I mean, the huge success of both Full House and America's Funniest Home Videos, we had him as a guest on an L.A. morning show that I was part of on Pirate Radio, KQLZ Los Angeles, Pirate Radio. And we had, and Scott Shannon was the morning guy. And I was part of the morning ensemble and team. This is 1989, 1990, and 91 that I was out there. And we had Bob Saget on at least three or four times.
And hey, Humpy, Bob Saget's at the door. Go get it, Humpy.
I used to bring him in. I used to, you know, I talked to him. I mean, he's just a nice guy. And that's a long time ago. I can't imagine he changed. But my impression of Bob Saget is just, he was a really nice, nice guy.
He was probably like such a nice guy in real life, and then the family dad on TV. So then he had to get his raunchy side out with his comedy.
It's all an act. Everybody has all these comics have an act. You know, they're and everybody who I know who's met him, and a lot of people who I respect in this business, all say nice things about him.
Yeah,
what a cool guy he is. Nobody mm-hmm. says, you know what, he's kind of a jerk.
I've never heard a bad word about Bob Saget. Not one bad word.
See. I kicked a bucket. You're going to see people coming forward. You know, Fester really was a jerk. But Bob Saget, nobody has any bad things to say about
him. Okay, so manager of the Wawa is going to say, yeah, that guy came in and stole our artificial sweetener by the handful every day.
The fat guy's dead? Good. All right.
Someone just tweeted something bad about him.
What?
They said that there's a rumor that Bob Saget, or excuse me, sent it to our text line. They said the rumors Bob Saget was so raunchy, they had to keep him away from the kids on Full House because he was so vulgar and cussed so much.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Okay. I mean, I've heard like he was, you know, him and Dave Coulier would say like dirty jokes to each other. And I don't know if the kids were around.
Yeah, I mean, you're working with like 8-year-olds. Yeah, you probably don't want to hear the aristocrats.
What is it? What?
Which is the funniest joke. That 2005 documentary.
The aristocrats.
What is Dave Coulier doing these days?
Living off royalties? He was on that Fuller House show on Netflix.
Oh, on Netflix. Yeah.
You know, I saw him recently on like We Want the 80s on like CNN or something, and they were talking about just how Full House was just a phenomenon.
He hosted like an ice skating competition on like Fox or something.
Really?
Wait, I'm going to Google it, but I'm pretty sure.
He also hosted America's Funniest People, which came on after America's Funniest Home Videos.
What was the ice skating thing, Cope?
It was like an ice skating like competition series.
When was that? How long ago?
Maybe 15 years ago. I was really young, but I remember it.
Yeah, I don't remember that one. Anyway, rest in peace, Bob Saget. I'm sure there's going to be more news forthcoming. I'm sure there's going to be an autopsy performed probably today by the Orange County Medical Examiner in Orlando. And I guess we'll probably have some preliminary details. And my guess is either massive heart attack, an aneurysm, or a stroke is what I'm guessing.
It was called Skating with Celebrities, and it aired on Fox in 2006.
Oh, so
after, and he was a judge on the show.
After Skating with Celebrities, maybe we do something called Dancing with the Stars. Skating with Celebrities. But he just played... He was found dead, so Sunday at about 4 o'clock or 4:30 is when he was found. The news broke about 3 hours later at about 7:45 last night is when the news broke that Saget was found dead. And just on Saturday night, he had done a comedy show in the Jacksonville area in Ponte Vedra.
And he was super stoked. He did a really great job. Everybody was excited and said it was a great show. He put a Twitter post out there how much fun he had.
Yeah, that was his last tweet.
That was terrible. A couple of things on the book. So rest in peace, Bob Saget. I'm sure we're going to have more information probably even by tomorrow. Or certainly this week there's going to be more information. But those are my three top causes of death of what probably happened to Bob Saget. But rest in peace, dude. I'll tell you right now, Bob... three, four, five, however many times. We had him up a lot. It was a decent amount because he loved the morning show. And, you know, we were right on Sunset and Cahuenga. Our radio station was in the CNN building in Hollywood. And, you know, he lived not far. I think he lived in Pacific Palisades or something. He just shot down Sunset. And he was on the morning show, I'm telling you, like three, four, five times. And he was just always a nice guy. Rest in peace, Bob Saget. All right, Buccaneers. You guys ready for a little Buccaneers update? This is the NFL on the MJ Morning Show. Well, I'll tell you what. That Bucs start yesterday was awful. I was like, oh my God, this is no Super Bowl team.
So the last two games, they've got some really slow starts.
Oh, man, what an awful, horrendous start. I'm like, what the heck? I mean, what's going on here? I mean, it looked like they were going to be walked on. It looked like Carolina was going to walk all over them. And then, of course, things got, kicked up into gear. So, what, 41-17 was the final.
Yeah, and they finished the season 13-4.
But then with the Rams losing, then the Bucs got number two seed. Now, yes. They don't get a bye week, so they don't have a recovery week. but they are number two seed, so that gives us some home field advantage. And
so we could see the NFC Championship game come through here.
Yeah, yeah. So again, so the next game is going to be here.
Right.
It was just announced last night that the next game is going to be this Sunday. It's going to be a 1 o'clock game with the Philadelphia Eagles coming to Tampa Bay at Ray J. So 1 p.m. game. And on paper, the Bucs should not have trouble with the Eagles. However, on paper, the Jacksonville Jaguars were supposed to get creamed by the Indianapolis Colts.
What a crazy game that was.
I know. I mean, so
much stuff happened yesterday in football.
All right. So listen, Buccaneer, I mean, we're in the running. I mean, it's not out of the question. You know, I was texting with Paul Delgado from Fox last night, and in the first, like, quarter, I'm like, dude, this is no Super Bowl team right now. And then they kicked it into gear, and Brady threw for what? Brady threw, what, three? And, you know, Evans had a spectacular game. Did I hear that Gronk made $1 million in bonuses last night?
So Gronk had two bonuses on the line, each for $500,000 that he was really close to. And his dear friend, Tom Brady, refused to come out of the game until Gronk got his receiving yards and his it was an extra touchdown or something.
It was receptions
or something.
I think it was completed passes, either completed passes or whatever it was. But Gronk made $1 million extra above and beyond his contract. You know, his guaranteed amount. He made $1 million in bonus money yesterday.
And you can see, I remember Tony Romo during the game, he did a close-up on Brady's face. He's like, yeah, you're not taking me out of the game right now.
What a nice friend. And so, Tom actually passed. He's the oldest player in NFL history to pass for more than 5,000 yards in a season.
Yeah, I saw that as well. So that's a big deal. Yeah, Tom Brady, oldest player in NFL history to pass more than 5,000 yards in a season. He hit 5,000 yards for the second time in his career, roughly 10 years after he did it with the New England Patriots at age 34 in the 2011 season. So, you know, Tom Brady, you know, early on wasn't looking, the first drive was pathetic. I was like, what the hell is this? And then moving on to AB, moving on to Antonio Brown, did you see that he shot a music video over the weekend in the Diamond District in Manhattan? And he's wearing like a pimp fur coat and a bucket hat, and he's getting out of, like, expensive cars and flashing bling.
Good for him.
So wait a minute. He gets
now's the time.
He gets fired by the Bucks, and he's shooting music videos in Times Square.
Listen, you got to strike while the iron's hot, man. What's he going to do, wait 2 months and then put out the album?
I mean, people are talking about him right now. We got to get this video out stat.
Yeah, Antonio Brown's lawyer claims the Buccaneers released him in a surprise attack.
Whatever.
Do we have the audio of what he said that he was thinking about doing? Coop, do we have that?
Yeah, we do.
All right, folks. Antonio Brown was on what? Some kind of, was it a podcast or a video stream?
Some sit-down podcast with some internet geeks.
He was on the Send It. They're not internet geeks. They have an enormous podcast and YouTube channel.
What is it called?
It's the Send It, podcast. Full send.
Full send. All right. So
yes.
All right. Where's the?
I watch it. It's very funny.
Where's the audio? Which one is it? Oh, here it is. All right. So Antonio Brown is on this Full Send. Is that it?
Yes. Full Send.
So he's on this video streaming show, and this is what Antonio Brown said about what he was thinking about doing up at MetLife, where he melted down during the Bucks and Jets game 2 Sundays ago. Listen to what he said.
Because I thought about Mooney.
This is a very uncomfortable topic. God.
You thought about Mooney? Bro, I've been working on my glutes all year. I thought about just Mooney him. A big old chocolate ass in MetLife.
He just said a big old chocolate ass at MetLife. That's Antonio Brown.
Because I thought about Mooney.
This is a very uncomfortable topic. God. You thought about Mooney?
Bro, I've been working on my glutes all year. I thought about just Mooney him. A big old chocolate ass in MetLife.
That's great.
This guy needs counseling.
All right.
He needs an evaluation. He needs a checkup from the neck up.
I kind of like him.
This is the podcast they had on Mike Tyson a couple months ago. And Mike Tyson ate like a, or he smoked DMT on the podcast.
No. I'm going to act like I know what a DMT is.
What is DMT?
It's like psychedelic drugs. It's like smoking acid, I guess.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't know what DMT was. Mike Tyson smoked acid on that same show?
Yeah, 2 months ago. It has 5.2 million views.
The heck?
Okay.
He's insane. They interview everybody on that show. That's a good podcast.
All right. That's cool. I've not heard of it, but I'm looking at their YouTube page. You have a lot of sports figures in there.
Unbelievable.
You have a lot of UFC fighters. Good stuff.
They do wild stuff on the show.
Do you remember a couple of weeks ago, we did a quick little blurb in one of our segments on the show, and it was about the whole birds aren't real conspiracy?
I do remember that. Coop started it. That's his thought process.
Yeah, Coop, what was the deal? Did I bring it up and then you chimed in that a lot of folks in your... Oh, I know what it was. I brought up the fact that a lot of like younger folks, like millennials, I think it's... Now, Coop, your generation... Who just sneezed? Froggy, was that you? Froggy, is that... Froggy, you all right?
I'm coughing. I'm choking on coffee.
You're choking on coffee?
Yeah, Froggy's at home, by the way, because Froggy's young son has COVID, so the whole family's quarantined. Dude, are you all right?
Wrong pipe.
Obviously.
I'm good.
I think that's technically impossible, but... All right, so where was... So I brought the fact that a lot of millennials, they don't think birds are real. I mean, this is like a giant conspiracy theory that birds are not real, which is the biggest joke. A lot of millennials and even some Generation Z folks, they think birds are drones, like they're government spy drones. All the birds you see... There's this conspiracy, and I'm like, come on, people are jumping on the bandwagon. They're just having fun with this, but there are really some people that think that birds are not real.
Explain bird poop.
Yeah, I mean, remember... That's the oil discharge, remember? I read all the facts.
Right, yeah, so they think it's oil discharge from the drones.
Remember last time we talked about this, a real bird called in and pooped on a guy.
That's right.
So, I mean, they're real.
The reason why I'm bringing this up again is... The Birds Aren't Real founder did a TV interview. The guy's name is Peter McIndoe. He's 23 years old, and he was on WGN TV Chicago. You know, we get WGN on the cable package, don't we? So WGN had him on the morning show last week as a guest on Thursday morning. And they're trying to say, all right, what is this whole... Birds aren't real deal. You founded this movement. What's the story? So this guy, Peter McIndoe, he's on WGN television. And all right, first of all, this guy tries the phoniest damn stunt that I've seen in a long time. It is so obviously fake. Listen to this.
You know, Gen Z is full of some amazing men, women, and children that are aiming for change. And I think that is, you know, just what our movement's all about.
But it's more than just Gen Z's falling for conspiracy theories. Why?
Right? My God. I'm so nervous. I'm so sorry.
All right.
It sounds like me.
I know. That's what I thought for a second. So, Froggy, be quiet.
While the guy is doing the interview and the anchor from WGN TV Chicago, while he's speaking... This Generation Z dude, this Pete McIndoe, he has this giant mug, and he's drinking some kind of liquid out of the mug. So he primes himself with a whole mouthful of whatever liquid he's drinking, and then he, like, fake throws up, and all of the liquid in his mouth flies out. But it is obviously so phony. It's so fake. And then even his comeback, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so nervous. I mean, this guy's an attention hog. This guy is just trying to create. Listen,
what's the point though?
I don't know. Because you know what? He's trying to go viral. He's trying to get people to talk about him. But it cuts back. But it's phony. Anyone that believes that he really threw up, it was just a stunt. Here, listen again.
You know, Gen Z is full of some amazing men, women, and children that are aiming for change. And I think that that is, you know, just what our movement's all about.
So but, then the anchor jumps in, asks a question. He pulls up his drink, gets a big swig, and then, like, hurls.
But it's more than just Gen Z's falling for conspiracy theories. Why?
Oh, my right? God. I'm so nervous. I'm so sorry.
Oh, I'm so nervous. I'm so sorry. I mean, the guy's like, he's a total fraud.
That's funny.
He guy's making the whole thing up. I'm so nervous. I'm so sorry.
What do you expect from the guy?
Yeah, he's pushing like birds aren't real conspiracy.
Well, we hope you're okay. Why don't we give you some time to collect yourself? If you need help, let us know in the control room there. And
so they cut away. They cut away from him.
All right. So my
favorite, exactly what just happened to me. That's so weird.
Listen, my favorite thing on television is when something unexpected happens on a newscast, and these robot anchors.
Yeah, they're so impassioned.
Have to. Well, let me. Ooh. Have somebody from our control room see if he's okay.
They just describe what happened and with no emotion.
We'll get back to you if we can. Well, Paul, let me tell you something. Is there any weather today?
I think
we hey, is there, yeah, we got 100% chance of vomit.
if this guy wants people to think birds aren't real, his vomit spit take wasn't real.
It was awful.
That was terrible.
It was absolutely terrible.
I don't know if he was choking on his coffee. I don't know.
It's not easy to be on TV, Paul. Some people, you know, gets them nervous, and I just hope that that young man is okay.
Yeah, me too.
He's fine. He played you. He's just continuing his publicity, scheme. First, it's the birds aren't real thing, and then he drinks coffee so he can spit it out to make it look like he threw up on WGN TV.
If I ever get
sort of worked.
If I ever get interviewed by the news, that's exactly what I'm going to do.
I mean, the guy's playing everybody.
Good for him.
All right.
I love him.
Let me run something by you here, and I would like to go to phones on this. And I'd love to know what our MJ Morning Show audience thinks. By the way, you got the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. And I saw this on Friday, and this is turning into quite the interesting debate here. And there are two different factions. This is taking a very interesting turn. A woman has, like, split the internet. This woman is on an airplane, and she's sitting in her seat, and she can see, you know how when you're in a row of either two seats or you've got three seats, and you've got the obvious row in front of you, and you can, a lot of times, there's enough of a gap in between the seat that you can see through the seat and what's going on in front. So this woman in the row behind looks ahead and sees that the woman in the seat in front of her is holding up her phone, and the phone is being held up in a fashion that the woman behind is able to see through the crack in the seat and see her phone and read her texts. Allegedly, the story goes like this. The woman behind watched the woman in front text, "We have COVID. That's why we're returning home a day early on the plane." Mm. All right, now this has caused, you know, quite an interesting debate. Some people are like, the woman that read the text message had no business reading the text message. Others are like, wait a minute. This woman has no business being on the airplane. And there are different factions developing here. So, and then some are suggesting, is the story even real? Was this thing done for viral purposes? Meaning, was the woman behind part of some type of a viral scheme, and her friend was sitting in the seat just in front? You know, you had that viral video. Do you remember the woman with the hair that she threw over the back of the
seat?
She
flipped it back.
Yeah, and the guy has like a whole waterfall of hair in front of him where his tray is.
And then somebody, they were putting gum in it and everything, and they shot video, and it turned out, seemed fake. But that was fake, and we think the woman was wearing a wig, and it was like a totally fake deal. Well, we don't know whether this was real or fake, but the question is, what are your thoughts on this? Who is in the wrong? Let me share something. one of the, and this was posted on Reddit. So one of the message groups on Reddit, and this just spawned like thousands and thousands of comments late last week. Some people were saying, hey, is this even legal? Then someone else posted, F this lady and the creep who reads other people's messages. Not only are you spying on a stranger's phone, you're taking pictures of it. And there's a picture of the phone through the crack in the airplane seat. But again, this woman alleged, well, you can see it. She did text it. But is this a real story? She texted, we have COVID. Can you imagine? You're on an airplane. You're sitting behind somebody and you happen to see their screen. And somebody, what, a foot and a half in front of you in a crammed airliner texts to somebody, we have COVID. Shh. That's why we're returning home a day early on the plane.
Must be someone who is probably over the age of like 50 if they have their phone set with the text messages and the words so big that someone behind them could see it.
All right, I want to go to phones on this. Folks, what are your thoughts? Who are they both in the wrong? Are you more angry at the woman behind who's spying on the cell phone of the woman in front?
That's a good call, Roxanne.
Or are you more angry at the woman knowingly going on the airplane with COVID, potentially exposing other passengers? What are you more angry at? All right, let's go to phones on this. 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. That's the number. 800-990-1047. We'll grab some phone calls here in just a minute. So what were you saying, Roxanne?
Well, look at the hand, the claw hand pecking away at the keyboard of the texter. That looks like an old lady hand.
Yeah, just before Fester pulled up this photo, I was trying to imagine what kind of person, family we're talking about who's typing that text. And if the woman behind her could see the text messages that clearly, she must have the big screen because she probably can't see close up.
All right, so that is a good observation. Actually, the woman's hand, the skin on her hand might be a little crepey. Is that the terminology for an older person's skin? It gets a little crepey,
and
right?
And a little, like, liver spotty.
A little spotty. She has an ugly color of nails.
All right, the phones are blowing up here, so I'm going to go to calls here in just a second. So, you know, some of the skeptics on Reddit are commenting that the passenger up front deliberately put this alarming message on there because she knew that the woman behind was reading her messages, so she was just going to freak her out.
Oh, that's fun.
But wait a minute.
No.
That's a good way to get kicked off the flight.
Yeah.
I mean, you're really going to jeopardize your travel if the person behind said to the flight attendant, this woman is saying she's got COVID right now.
Check
her phone. I don't think for a minute somebody would do that. Here's another interesting. Here's another interesting angle. Someone wrote, to be fair, on the subway once, I clearly saw the girl next to me reading my texts, so I typed out something deranged just to get her to move away from me. What, like, there's this woman right behind me. I'm going to kidnap her. I'm going to put her in my trunk.
Yeah.
Well, MJ,
pretty smart.
Okay, so we have no idea if it's a joke. Take it at face value. Yes. What if it's real? I mean, it's plausible that between the seat cracks, you can see somebody's cell phone.
Yes, true. I know that I've seen stuff happening in the seat in front of me when I've been on an airplane. And I fly plenty of coach seats. So
you're a man of the people.
I am. I absolutely am. So let's go to phones on this. 800-990-1047. Are you more angry at the woman spying on the lady's texts or the fact that the woman is on the airplane, allegedly, if the story is true, with COVID? All right. 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. Let's go to phones. All right.
It's very plausible that this whole thing, just take it at face value. It's real.
Samantha Lakeland. Samantha, you're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Hi.
Love you. I'm so glad.
Oh, hold on one sec. I didn't have your phone thing up. I'm sorry, because Froggy's thing is right next to yours. I thought the phone was up. All right, Samantha, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, MJ. So glad you're back. Always loved you when you were on 93.3. Amazing. So the lady on the airplane should definitely not be on there. She's got COVID. I wouldn't care if I read it or not. Listen, my son is in the hospital right now. He just got over the coronavirus, waited 14 days to go back to school for a kid to cough and tell me that he's going to get a cold because he's sick. Now my son is back in the hospital with the rhinovirus because somebody let their kid come on the bus sick.
Yeah, but the rhinovirus is just the common cold.
But unfortunately, for people who have special needs, which my son does.
Gotcha.
It's a devastating thing. Now we're going to be in the hospital for a whole week.
Oh, geez.
Just because somebody couldn't keep their kid, you know. If you're sick, you should definitely be home because you got to think of other people with these needs.
All right, so obviously, taking the story at face value, you're infuriated that this woman would possibly be on the airplane with COVID and even telling people that they're COVID positive. That's why they're on the flight to get home early.
Absolutely, yeah. Infuriated. Yep. If it was me sitting behind that woman, I would have definitely got up and said something. Definitely. You have to think of other people. You can't be on an airplane like that. There's no way you can contaminate everyone just by one cough, one sneeze. That's all you need.
Samantha, thanks for the call, and I hope your son gets better quickly, okay?
Thanks, MJ. You're amazing, and I love you guys so much. Keep rocking it out, man.
Thanks, Samantha. Thanks. Appreciate
it. Keep rocking it out, and you're amazing, too.
Chris is in Tampa. Hey, Chris, you're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Hi.
Hey, good morning, guys. First of all, let me say, last time I lived here about 3 years ago, you guys weren't on the air. Since I've moved back from Arizona and you guys are on the air, I love you guys.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. I mean, the show is really growing massively. So
you guys are awesome and you deserve it. I love it.
Yeah, according to the Census Bureau, Chris, we're the number one reason people are moving back from Arizona.
That's why Tampa's so hot right now.
Exactly. All right, Chris, what are your thoughts on this story?
So taking this at face value, if the woman does have COVID, then absolutely I'm mad at her. I mean, you know, coach seats are close enough where, yes, the woman behind her could have seen the text or what have you. And with everything going on, if you happen to see the word COVID, I mean, that's going to catch your attention. That's like seeing the word bomb or hearing the word bomb on a plane. It's going to catch your attention. And 100% the lady that read the text should have said something, because if that woman truly does have COVID, then everybody on that plane is potentially infected. And then everybody that they come in contact with is potentially infected, and so on and so forth. So absolutely, I'm more upset at the woman that was saying she had COVID and was on the flight.
Great call, Chris. Thank you, buddy. And thanks for listening. Let's grab Laura in St. Pete. Hey, Laura, you're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Hi.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Well, I think it was an accident. I don't think she meant to read it, or, you know, she wasn't being malicious. But I, as a survivor of COVID, I got double pneumonia in August and was hospitalized for quite a while. And I would be very upset because I don't think that's fair. You know, if you have COVID, you're supposed to quarantine. It's an adult, you know, thing to do. And yeah, it wasn't right.
So Laura, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I am 45.
So 45, you had double pneumonia from COVID.
Yep.
And do you have pre-existing conditions, or were you a healthy person that just got nailed?
No, I have asthma. I had it my whole life,
right.
Arthritis, fibromyalgia, a whole gamut of things.
Yep.
I took my kids out of school, did the homeschooling, 2 years, pretty much, you know, nobody got anything. My husband went to work, and I think somebody came in with COVID at work with a mask, thinking that that was enough protection, and he brought it home. There was like seven people. Yeah, I mean,
you can't go to work if you know you have COVID. Yeah. I mean, I don't understand why people would go to work knowingly having COVID. I mean, that's like,
it's ridiculous.
That's Russian roulette. And here, how long were you in the hospital?
I was in the hospital for about, I want to say, 10 days. Thank God it wasn't longer than that.
Did you get intubated or no?
No, thank God.
Oh, good. Oh,
no,
geez.
I have three children, and I kept saying, please, God, you know, I got to get home to my babies. I was super sick, though, even when I came home.
And Laura, when did you have it? What months?
August 12th, golly. It was.
So you probably had the Delta variant, right?
I they didn't actually tell me what I had.
Yeah.
They just said that I had COVID, SARS or something.
Yeah, well,
and
SARS-CoV-2 is the actual scientific name for the virus.
Right. So. And I have the long haul as well.
So what are your remaining long haul effects?
I can't catch my breath. I have five children and I was always go, go, go.
Yeah.
And I catch myself like not being able to do things that I normally did.
Well, Laura, we wish you the best with the rehab. Please continue to listen and please keep in touch with us. Okay.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Laura. Appreciate it. Thank you. All right. Let me grab two more quickly. Shannon is in St. Pete. Hi, Shannon. You're on the MJ Morning Show.
Hi. Good morning. I just had some thoughts regarding, first of all, everybody's, the people that are saying that they're upset that this woman chose to read her text. First of all, when you're in public, there's no expectation of privacy. It's like these Karens, when they're acting up and people are recording them and then putting them on TikTok and YouTube. So there really is no expectation. If you choose to behave in that manner, and then you're going to text somebody about it, that's what happened. And she was completely irresponsible. And I mean, she deserves whatever she gets. That's the way life is now. You can't act like that. You have to be responsible. You have to be an adult.
Thanks for the call, Shannon. Appreciate it. Good insight. One more call. And if you're just tuning in, story floating around. A woman was on an airplane and the woman in front of her was on her phone, and the woman behind was looking through the crack in the seat and could see the woman in front on her cell phone saying that they have COVID and they're on the airplane coming home a day early. Shh, don't tell anybody.
I'll have Coop put the picture up at MJMorningShow.com just to let everybody see it.
We'll get the story and the image up. We'll put the whole link up at MJMorningShow.com. That's MJMorningShow.com. Let me grab Deborah quickly. Final call on this before we move on. Deborah's in Lutz. Deborah, MJ Morning Show, Q105. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
What do you think?
I thought they were both wrong, but after listening to your other listeners, I think that the woman with COVID was wrong for getting on the plane because she just infected the whole plane.
Yeah, potentially. And listen, bottom line, if the story's true or in any scenario like this, anyone that knowingly gets on an airplane, goes to work, or potentially exposes people to COVID is absolutely dead wrong.
Well, enough about COVID. Should we be looking at people's phones while they're trying to text someone, Fester?
Yeah, listen. Absolutely. Phones are open season.
You do it to me every day.
Every day. Every day.
Fester's a scoundrel.
That's how I find out half of my Roxanne dirt.
All right. When we get back, folks, this. What is that? Did someone step on a duck? I think somebody stepped on a duck.
Quack, quack. Let me hear that again.
All right, folks, that is a celebrity toot.
What?
A celebrity toot.
Quack, quack.
Hold, Froggy, do you have any idea who's that celebrity toot?
Is he even there? Is he plugged
in? Here.
Oh, okay.
All right, your mic was off, Froggy. All right, stand by. Celebrity toot next. We're loaded. We got an hour to go, folks. We're going to be all over the road. The next hour is going to be fantastic, so don't move. Back in minutes on the MJ Morning Show on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105. 9 o'clock exactly at the MJ Morning Show. It's MJ here with Fester and Roxanne and Coop. We're in studio. Froggy is at home because of the COVID thing, because Froggy's young kid, Luke, who is 7, came down with the COVID. Probably the Omicron over the weekend. Hey, you saw, before we move on here, you saw the Lightning game tonight is postponed.
Yeah. and their own COVID issues.
Yeah, so what do I have? I got the details here. So tonight's hockey game, Lightning and the New Jersey Devils, has been postponed because I guess a whole bunch of the Devils are all frigged up with the Omicron.
Devils.
Why are you going, psst?
I mean, of all the team names to get the Omicron, you'd be the, you know, the worshippers of Satan.
You think they'd be immune, right?
So we've got much worse around here.
Yeah, the NHL also said the Ottawa Senators versus the Edmonton Oilers, that was also rescheduled. So the new date for the Lightning and Devils game has not yet been announced. That was as of last night. Then you saw that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, that AOC.
Yeah.
You know, she was... she
partying
was
kinda, there down for New Year's.
She was excoriated for her trip leaving New York and coming to Florida, and she was seen maskless at a bunch of events, and she was dancing. She was, and guess what? She contracted COVID, and now she's recovering, and all we heard was that she has symptoms.
So okay.
This AOC's got COVID now after, you know, she was pilloried for running around Florida, you know, leaving New York with all kinds of men and coming to Florida maskless. So people were calling her a hypocrite. And then she was at numerous events. There were a lot of photos of her taken where she was like hugging people in close proximity. You know, while Florida's had a huge Omicron spike, and there's AOC, and now she's got it.
When do we come to the realization that eventually everybody's going to get it?
Well,
no matter what you do?
You know, it's an interesting point because I did see another story that 80% of Florida will have caught COVID-19 by the end of the wave. This is according to a UF report, a University of Florida report, that most of the state's population is going to be infected with Omicron. They're saying 80%.
Okay, so let's go back a year ago. Weren't we talking about, yay, we're almost to herd immunity. Almost 70% of us have gotten Delta or the first one or vaccinated. So what's the difference now?
Well, listen, obviously you want to mitigate, you want to minimize. If you don't have to get it, then don't get it. And certainly, you know, the thing with trying not to get it is we don't want to overwhelm the healthcare system. And that's really, we don't want to tax all the resources and the medical profession, the hospitals, the testing, and the PPE. That's what we don't want to tax, is what it comes down to. All right, moving along. We have this audio bite. Ooh.
Yeah, and that's so weird because I don't know that I've ever heard one quite like that before.
That was a rip. All right, folks, that is a celebrity toot. What did you just say?
It sounds like he's saying like the last name Ramos.
What?
Did he try to cover it by talking it over it? Or another guy?
No, there's somebody talking. Someone else is talking.
Okay, everybody be quiet in here.
All right.
Oh, yeah. I heard it.
Is that wind?
That is an A-list celebrity who happened to be working out with the Miami Dolphins.
Dan Marino?
A-list as you can get.
Do we? What'd you say?
I said it is. He's about as A-listy as you can get.
Yeah, this is a big A-list movie star celebrity, former rapper. What was his
Mark
big?
Mark Wahlberg?
A-list celebrity, former rapper.
His big song was what? Parents Just Don't Understand, right? Was that one of his big...
Oh, mm-hmm. You're talking about Will Smith.
Yes. Hey, do we have Parents Just Don't Understand?
I have Getting Jiggy With It.
Oh, yeah. All right. Give me some Getting Jiggy With It. Give me some of that. And then also try to find Parents Just Don't Understand. That was a big hit back in, like, what, 1989, right? Mm-hmm.
That song got him the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean... Will Smith is the celebrity tutor.
On your mark, ready, set, let's go. Dance floor, bro, I know, you know. I feel psycho when my new joint hit. Just can't sit. Got to get jiggy with it. That's it. Now, honey, come ride. TKNY, all up in my eye. Prada, bag with a lot of stuff in it. Give it to your friend, let's spin. Everybody looking at me, glancing at kid. Wishing it was...
All right, so that's Getting Jiggy With It.
Sick a cigar right from Cuba, Cuba.
Getting Jiggy With It.
F-A-R-T, all up in your eye.
I forgot how good this song was.
I really like it.
This is a big song.
Big Willie Styles all in it. Getting jiggy with it.
Getting farty with it.
All right, shut this one, Coop. Shut this one off. All right, do you have Parents Just Don't Understand?
I just found it.
All right, this was a great song. This launched. This launched Will Smith. I mean, this was...
It's such a true song.
This was actually huge.
Parents all the same, no matter time, no place. They don't understand that us kids are going to make some mistakes. So to you other kids all across the land, there's no need to argue. Parents just don't understand.
My wife sleeps with every other man.
He looks the exact same, though, as he does now back then.
He does.
I remember one year my mom took me school shopping, and it was me, my brother, my mom, my pop.
Well, I love this. Great. Don't rush me, Fester.
Well, we have breaking news and breaking farts.
So, Will Smith, 53-year-old Will Smith, a video came out of Will Smith doing some kind of a workout with the Miami Dolphins. And was he doing planks? Oh, he was doing some kind of roller thing. Now, this is being videoed. You can see there's a boom mic. So this is being done for something. And while Will Smith was working out, well, here's the full audio.
You want to make sure we get full in motion.
Oh, sorry about this.
He is on the ground stretching on some kind of roller device. He's like right on top of this Miami Dolphins logo in the middle of the workout floor. I would imagine this is the Dolphins workout facility.
Yeah.
And
we want to make sure we get full in motion.
Oh, sorry about this. Sorry about this.
So hold on.
Yes.
Did he give a warning when he goes, sorry about this, sorry about that?
No.
Play it again.
He said that.
Listen.
All right. We want to make sure we get full motion.
Oh, sorry about this.
No, he apologized after the fact.
Sorry about this.
You okay?
No, it's just so funny. Like, with the girls in my household.
Right.
If one of them passes gas, like whatever they're doing, we incorporate that word. So if they were working out, they pass gas, and that's like a woot. So he's doing planks. So this would be like a plute.
A plute? It's a plute? It's a Will Smith plute? The Dolphins just don't
squeeze
understand.
It right out.
All right, Froggy, listen, come on. Let's keep this thing nice.
What? Are you kidding me?
What?
You said one thing.
It's very funny. Can we post this, Coop? Can we get this up at MJMorningShow.com? If you want to see A-list celebrity Will Smith in the Miami Dolphins training facility, ripping one.
Right. And who doesn't want to see this?
then go to, we'll have it up in a few minutes. We'll have it up at MJMorningShow.com. That's MJMorningShow.com. Roxanne, are you attracted to a certain color eye with men? With men, are you attracted to a certain color eye?
Well, I think that from a biological standpoint, since I have like bluish green eyes, then I want to procreate with someone who has the same color so that my blue is passed on. So, yeah, I think so.
So your color is?
Mm-hmm. Bluish greenish.
This is a new study. Results found that blue was the most attractive eye color in males. So, meaning women found blue. So you're sort of right. But you said bluish green, or what did you say? Now, what color?
Yeah,
I've never looked at your eyes. What color are your eyes?
All right.
I'm sorry.
All right. Wow. What have you looked at?
All right. I'm sorry. That didn't come out right. All right. Let me try it.
If someone came in here and asked you to sketch me, would you be able to describe me?
Obviously,
you'd be eyeless.
Obviously, I've looked you in the face. I know what you look like. I've worked with you now.
I mean, I'm wearing a mask half the time we've known each other.
Right,
you should definitely have seen my eyes.
But if you told me to close my eyes, you know, right now and said, what color are my eyes? I wouldn't know. I don't know if I really hone in on people's eye color. Like, do you know what color my eyes are?
Yeah, you have light eyes.
So what
I mean, they're like bluish grayish.
Yeah, so I have bluish grayish.
They're not. They're like a deep red.
No, they're not.
Shut and up. Then the horns underneath the hair, you got to check for those.
Please stop. What's that movie with the guy with the nubs? What's
Hellboy?
Yeah, Hellboy. I've got Hellboy nubs. That was the guy from Sons of Anarchy in that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What's his name? So it's interesting because it goes two ways. So women find blue eyes most attractive in men, but guess what color eyes men find more attractive in women?
Brown eyes.
No.
I was thinking the song.
When it comes to most attractive eye color in females, the results were different. Hazel eyes top the list as the most popular.
So what is hazel? Is that like, because some people say they have hazel eyes, and I'm like, no, your eyes are brown.
Yeah. Hazel was a really bad 1960s sitcom with like a maid.
Yes.
when I was a little kid, hazel.
So brown is, hazel's between green and brown.
Yeah. All right, so hold on a sec. I got to make a phone call.
Okay.
Quickly. Hold on.
Do you know Joey B always used to say, I'm so full of bleep, my eyes are brown.
Yeah.
Joey B. How's Joey doing?
I have to get an update.
Fester.
I talked to his old lady maybe 2 months ago, and he is still recovering.
Yeah, Joey B. had a stroke, apparently, and, you know, we're trying to keep in touch. He just didn't want to have contact with anybody until he recovered. But, you know, wishing Joey B. the best. I mean, when I listened to old tapes, Joey B. was just funny. He brought a lot of stuff to the program. So if he recovers,
yes, Coop.
If Joey B recovers, Coop, you don't have anything to worry about. But
it's fine. We can bring him back. He can sit right in this chair. I'm all good.
Hang on a minute. Let me call up a mystery phone number here.
Okay, well, it's not a mystery anymore.
What? I'm calling my house. Why'd my phone go right to voicemail? Hang on a minute. That's not right. Unless I kick the phone over on the way out of the...
Blah, blah.
Yeah, sounds like the phone's off the hook. Hang on a minute. Let me... call Michelle's cell phone. Oh, also, one of the dogs apparently got kennel cough. So, hang on, let me see if Michelle picks up the cell phone. So Michelle, I think, had an appointment for the dogs this morning, but only if they were worse. The dogs are much better. Yeah, so the dogs apparently got kennel cough while we were away on vacation.
Hello.
Hey, sweeties. I think the house phone next to the bed is off the hook or something.
Oh, is it?
It must be, because it's going right to voicemail, because I'm going blah, blah. Hey, did you call up to cancel the vet appointment?
No, I will do that right now. Thank you.
What time are you supposed to be there?
3:00.
Yeah. Call and cancel, because
All right.
Well, no. Hold on a minute.
I've got other stuff to talk about, Michelle.
Michelle, we're talking about eye color. What color eyes do you find most attractive in a guy?
I don't really think about that.
Do you know what color my eyes are?
Blue.
Yes, they are. All right. So it turns out that in men, women find blue eyes most attractive. And guess what? Men find... What?
You have blue eyes?
I do. I have blue eyes. So, okay. And then it turns out, on the other side, men find this color most attractive in women. And, Michelle, what color are your eyes?
Like a hazel green.
Look at that. Yep. Look at that. So again, that's number one.
You guys are the most compatible eye color couple.
Exactly. So
we got that going for us.
Yeah. Right. I'm just pointing this out that I've got blue eyes, most attractive, and then Michelle has really cool, like hazelish with some green in it, and Michelle's eyes are beautiful. What the hell is that?
Hazel Eyes.
That was Hazel Eyes by Kelly Clarkson.
I don't know that song.
It's a good one.
Kelly Clarkson. Really?
Yeah, you'd know it if you heard 30 seconds
of it. All right. Well, I heard 1.5 seconds of it. I thought it was a fire alarm going off or something.
You need the other 28 and a half seconds. All right, Hazel.
All right.
Cancel that vet appointment.
All right, so can you believe that our dogs had been going to this kennel for... Our dogs have been going to this kennel for, 20 years?
Yeah.
They never got kennel cough, and then the new owners took over the kennel, and the first time at the new owner's kennel, my dogs come back with kennel cough.
Is it kennel cough or is it canine COVID? Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, that's why I called the vet, because I wasn't sure. Yeah. Like, what should I do? Do they need to be tested or anything?
Exactly.
And they were like, no, it's kennel cough.
Did I see that, like, cats can get COVID now, so yeah. You may want to watch out.
Lions and tigers.
Michelle, animals keep getting COVID. Yeah. The zoo Tampa.
Yeah, the tigers. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, Michelle, what were your thoughts on Alec? I think you read some of my prep from last night. The whole Alec Baldwin situation and the reports that he was not complying and he was trying to hide his cell phone from investigators. Did you have thoughts on that?
Well, I think the investigators have the victim's cell phone. And so I guess there's, you know, communications there that existed between her and Alec Baldwin and probably other, you know, members of the crew. And so they want his phone now. And obviously nobody's going to just provide their phone without a warrant. He shouldn't do that either. But, my guess is that he's probably deleted some, communications that he, you know, is concerned about, not realizing that his phone is going to be part of the investigation.
So you think there's a good shot, and I think you're right, but you, as a lawyer, you were a former prosecutor for a while. You think that there's a good chance that he might have had some texts that he identified as, ooh, maybe problematic? You think he might have deleted some texts?
But, you know, foolishly thinking that, you know, if he deletes it, then it's gone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
Or phone calls as well, like communications that he had. You know, who did he call first? Who did he call second? Who did he call third? How long did he speak with them? And what did he speak about?
But if you do delete texts off your phone, a lot of times they are gone, and that the messages are not held like in the cloud necessarily. So if you delete a text, sometimes it's gone. Now, let's say a phone is...
Even from the person that receives it?
Well, it
right.
Well, no.
If I send you a text right. And then I delete my text, it's still on your phone.
Oh, it's on my phone. But if I delete my text, that could be gone. I think a lot of people think, oh, yeah, the phone company's got a record. And that's not the case. In most cases, there's no record of that. It's living on your phone. Now, if you have some kind of a cloud-based backup, maybe it could be there, but if you delete it off your phone, a lot of times I think it gets deleted if there is a cloud. But, for instance, with the phone companies, with the cell phone companies like Verizon or AT&T or T-Mobile, they will have, in many cases, they'll have a record that is kept for a certain amount of time of, like, maybe the numbers dialed.
Right.
Or maybe the text and maybe the number, but not necessarily what was said in the text message. But they might have a record of who you dialed and what day, what time, and the number that you dialed. That can be found. But I don't think if Alec Baldwin erased text messages, those might be gone. Like if he texted Ilaria, you know, something that might be problematic for him right after the incident, and then he deleted it. If he deleted it on his phone, trust me, he also deleted it on that fake Spanish lady's phone also.
Well.
What are you laughing at?
I mean, they should have a search warrant for it by now. It's been 2 months.
Yeah.
So anyway, I saw multiple sources over the weekend. Alec Baldwin says he's complying with Rust probe despite not turning over the phone. Alec Baldwin insisted on Saturday that he was complying with an investigation into the fatal shooting on the movie set Rust, though he has yet to turn over his cell phone to the New Mexico police. Authorities have a warrant for the actor's phone as they probe the death of Helena Hutchins, the cinematographer, who was shot back on set in October. Alec Baldwin, in this lengthy Instagram statement, he was just going on and on, and I don't even, you think we have the audio. All right, here's Alec Baldwin. Here's a little bit of Alec Baldwin. He put out this droning Instagram thing over the weekend.
Any suggestion that I am not complying with requests or orders or demands or search
warrants? First of all, it's like everything he does, it's like he's doing like a serious, any suggestion that I'm not...
He'd be exhausting to live with.
But the guy, everything he does, it sounds like he's acting. It sounds like he's in some kind of a movie scene.
Uh-huh.
All right, here it is. Listen.
Any suggestion that I am not complying with requests or orders or demands or search warrants about my phone, that's bull. That's a lie. This is a process where one state makes the request of another state. Someone from another state can't come to you and say, give me your phone, give me this, give me that. They can't do that. They've got to go through the state you live in. That is a process that takes time. They have to specify what exactly they want. You can't just go through your phone and take, you know, your photos or your love letters to your wife or what have you. I really don't know, but of course, we are 1,000% going to comply.
Not
with
a percent.
That. We're perfectly fine with that.
All right.
I hate it when people say 1,000%.
The problem for Alec Baldwin is at what. He's correct. They have to give them like a state with some specificity what they are looking for.
Right.
But he's the producer of one of the producers of the movie. So how far back can the investigation go? Like if he had shared texts with other producers from a year ago as they were putting the whole deal together, and he said, "Oh, I really want to be skimpy on providing funding for this aspect of the movie or whatever." You know, that could be a year ago. That could be. I don't know when the funding conversations began. When did the conversations with the director that was shot, when did those conversations begin? They're probably, from a year or two ago.
Yeah.
The movie wasn't just slammed together, yesterday. Yeah.
No, it's a very good point.
I think I agree with Alec in all this.
What?
Well, listen, if in a situation this serious, you obviously, even if you plan to comply, you still have to make sure that you're protected legally because you just don't know what's coming at you. All right, Michelle, I'll talk to you later, okay, sweetie?
All right, goodbye.
Call the vet and cancel the appointment because the dogs are getting better.
But I agree with Roxanne, though. He sounds exhausting to live with. I mean, I would be
right
out of there.
And you know a thing or two about guys who don't shut up.
But what about what about the whole... That's just stop it.
She knows.
Listen, I'm not faking like being some Spanish dude,
Jeez. Unfortunately, Michelle would love that.
I'm not faking it being some Spanish girl.
Michelle, tonight in the bedroom, I'm going to be the bullfighter.
Jeez.
I'm going to be the bullfighter. We're going to be...
Don't threaten her with a good time. Yes. She wishes you'd come home.
Tonight I'm going to be the matador. See.
Listen, you can name
from now on, you call me the matador.
Listen, you could name yourself after any one of those streets in South Tampa. San Luis, San Pedro, whatever you want. Just come home.
San Nicolas, San Rafael.
Yes.
Look who it is tonight.
San Marona. All right. I'll see you in a bit, right, Michelle. Goodbye. Don't forget, I got to go to the doctor after the show today.
Well, you have fun with that.
Yeah, my physical is today. My blood draw and all that is today. My yearly physical, all right?
And you love needles. Woo!
All right. Goodbye, sweetie.
Bye.
All right. Hey, folks, when we get back, final segment on tap. I got a lot to get to, but you need to hear the next segment because if you're a business, if you're an individual running a business, this could save you a lot of hassle. I'm about to give you a new FBI warning. What you hear next could save you a massive, massive hassle, which could be devastating. It could be expensive as hell. You got to hear this warning because it could affect you. And it's next on the MJ Morning Show here on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105. It is 9:35. MJ here with the crew. I've got Fester and Roxanne and Coop. And Froggy's at home because Froggy's 7-year-old kid, Luke, has the Omicron. He's got the COVID and they got him isolated. They got him in a Ziploc baggie, one of the big 2-gallon ones. Froggy, you still with us? Have you already signed off? What are you doing?
I'm going to talk to you through my keyboard. I'm saying yo.
Yo, hey. Yo, hey. Yo, hey. Yo, hey. Yo, hey. Yo, hey. Yo, hey.
Yeah.
time will you knock it off? You give me.
I'm gonna play with this all week, so get used to it.
So when do you think, Froggy? When can you come back? Do you know?
Well, I'm not sure yet. Hopefully, just a couple days. We're gonna test Luke maybe tomorrow.
You're gonna put him in the trunk of the car and drive him to the COVID side, right?
Yeah.
Like the teacher in Texas. I think that's a great idea. All right. So a lot to cover in the final segment here on the MJ Morning Show. I got to call Chloe in a minute. She texted something that we talked about earlier, and I just saw the text. But first, though, this FBI warning. Folks, listen to this. This could save you a massive freaking hassle. This could save you a fortune. It could save your company a fortune. The FBI is warning that hackers are now sending out USBs that are infected with ransomware. So if you get like a USB in the mail, or someone ships you a USB and maybe it's under, you know, who knows what kind of schemes and scams that they're using to get people to plug them in. If you plug in an unknown USB that you get, you could be just jamming your whole network and computer up with ransomware.
Oh, that's great.
Why would you put a USB in your computer that you didn't know its origin?
Let's say a company says, all right, here's our latest catalog. Mm-hmm. Here's our latest, here's our business proposal. You know, I would never put a USB.
Listen, me neither.
If I get, like, for instance, every once in a while, I'll get some little kit from American Express. I'm not sticking their damn USB in my computer.
I wouldn't touch my computer with your USB.
Say that again.
Okay, I think I know what you meant.
You know, actually, if you do,
you wouldn't touch my USB with a 10-foot pole. Is that what you're saying?
If you have something like that, if you have a USB and you ever want to get it tested, you can go down the hall to Max, the engineer. He'll test it for you.
What about my IUD? All right. So, the FBI now says that Russian hackers, Fin7, who are behind the Dark Side and Black Matter ransomware operations, that they are now sending out USBs. Yeah, according to the U.S. agency, the FBI, the group's packages were being sent via the U.S. Postal Service, or UPS, and appeared to be official companies. They added that hackers usually pretended to be from U.S. Department of Health and Human Services or from Amazon as a means to pick their ransomware targets. The FBI since issued a warning to businesses that these packages were certified as fake and dangerous. Statement reads, since August 2021, the FBI has received reports of several packages containing these USB devices sent to businesses in the transportation, insurance, and defense industries. The package is sent UPS or USPS, and there are two variations. Those imitating Health and Human Services are all for the company by letters referencing COVID-19 guidelines, enclosed with a USB, and those imitating Amazon arrived in a decorative gift box containing a fraudulent thank you letter, a counterfeit gift card, and the USB. So this is what a freaking scheme.
Wow.
Is that not unbelievable?
Somebody gives you a gift card. Of course, you're going to jam to a USB to see that activated or see what it's good for.
Don't
do it.
You might cost your company millions of dollars. Oh yeah, I just put this USB in the computer, and then your whole network. And before you know it, your whole place is locked up, and they want $17 million to unlock it. And you're hosed. You're out of a job. Yeah, you're going to jump off the skyway before you know it.
No, there's plenty of jobs out there. Just fire me. It's fine.
I got to call Chloe in a minute. First of all, can I put out a thank you and a kudos?
Is it kudos or kudos?
I want to recognize the Florida Highway Patrol. You see, the FHP stopped the wrong way driver on 275.
Thank God.
You remember the awful incident where the Tampa police officer lost his life it was a year ago. Yeah. It was like, what, January of 21, right?
Mm-hmm.
A Tampa man was arrested. This was early Saturday morning after troopers stopped this car allegedly driving the wrong way down 275. According to the FHP, Julian David Estrada Ramirez. Jeez, how many names? Julian David Estrada Ramirez.
There's actually like five more, but they just ran out of ink.
Yeah, he was driving home from a bar in St. Pete just past 3 a.m. Yeah, that's always a good time to drive home from a bar at 3 a.m. Yeah. And do you hear what I hear? And his last name, of course, was Estrada. Yeah. Look at that. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
No relation.
No relation to Eric Estrada from Chips. But I would like to commend the FHP for stopping this guy before he potentially had a head-on collision with another car going the wrong way on 275. Yeah, a report said that Ramirez, listen to this, got on I-275 in the incorrect direction at 5th Avenue North. He was heading back to Tampa. He's driving south. He's driving northbound in the southbound. And this could have been terrible.
That's awful.
Yep. But FHP was able to stop him. After he was stopped, trooper said that Ramirez blew a breath sample of a 0.161. So that's over twice the legal limit.
Yeah, I'm sure there were plenty of 911 calls, but I wonder if any of that anti-wrong way driver technology that they've installed along the interstate helped with this.
I don't know. I don't think so. At least not that I've seen. But I got to call Chloe quickly. I had no... What did we talk about earlier? When we were talking about Bob Saget, we were talking about the possible cause of death, and they said no drugs, no foul play is expected. You know, most likely, an autopsy is going to show that Bob Saget had a massive heart attack, a stroke, an aneurysm, something like that. And what were we saying, though? We were talking about celebrities found in hotels, in their homes.
Yeah.
What were some of the celebrities that were mentioned about, not hotels, but found in homes?
You mean on the show?
Yeah. We just, earlier today, who did we mention? Froggy, anyone?
Heath Ledger.
Okay. So, Chloe texted me earlier, like an hour ago, when we were talking about this, and Chloe sends a message that says, I've been in the apartment where Heath Ledger died.
Stop.
I'm like, what? I'm first hearing about this now?
What are they giving away? Giving out tours?
Hold on a minute.
Like the Hemingway house?
I think the Olsen twins owned that apartment.
So I got to believe that maybe Chloe knew somebody, a friend of hers, whose family must have ended up at that apartment. Oh, hi. Chloe.
Hi.
Wait a minute. Did you ever tell me you were in the apartment that Heath Ledger died in? I don't think so.
I could have sworn I did.
No, I'd remember that. So why were you in the apartment that Heath Ledger died in?
So the girl that lives in that apartment was some other girl that was in my grade in high school. Not at my school, but I was invited to a party, and that's where she lived, and that's where the party was.
In the Heath Ledger death apartment in Soho, right?
Yeah, it was down in Soho.
Do you remember what street? So
ghoulish.
What street was it on?
I do not remember the street name.
Did you go into the room where Heath Ledger died?
I don't think so. I'm hoping not. I was more in like the living area, in like the den.
Yeah, you were in the living area, not the dying area.
Oh my God! I don't think you ever told me this, Chloe.
I'm so sorry.
So, like, if I lived in the apartment where Heath Ledger kicked a bucket, I would have, like, a total shrine and make money off of that.
That is nuts!
Was there Joker paraphernalia around?
Like not that I could see, Roxanne.
Right, so you didn't go into any of the bedrooms?
No.
But was that, like, the talk of the party, that this was the apartment that Heath Ledger died in?
Not really. It's just like, oh, by the way, like, this is the apartment that Heath Ledger died in.
And
what do you say to that?
What grade was this? When you were at Marymount, what grade was this?
I was a senior.
Oh, so it was your last year at Marymount. Oh, wow. Before the COVID, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, and your whole senior year got wrecked in 2020.
He's going to do a shot where Heath died.
Let's die. Shotsky's over Heath's body spot.
That's crazy. All right, Chloe, I got to run. I'll see you in a bit, okay?
Okay, bye.
All right. I think we're done. Oh! Britney Spears put out like more nearly nude photos last night.
Love her.
What is going on?
She's the best.
She can't put out enough.
Now she's got her whole butt in a tiny little bitty thong. So last night, Sunday night, Britney Spears with a whole new set of like nearly naked pictures up. I did it again. Yeah, you did.
Good for you. While you still can.
All right, folks, we got to roll. Man, I got so much left over for tomorrow. We can't squeeze it all in. Folks, I want you to have a fantastic day. Website's loaded, mjmorningshow.com. Of course, MJ TV. You know, we're streaming the whole show every day now. mjmorningshow.com. The podcast will be up by 11 a.m. We're loaded on mjmorningshow.com. Folks, have a great day. We'll see you here for the Tuesday show, and let's be careful out there.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.